celebrating 3 years of bringing you the very best in LGBT talk programming. This is
Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening, Soto One. It is a Tuesday night. Where else would you find yourself but listening to the show with Clayton McKee on Q Talk America? That's me. Thank you for being with us. I'm in studio with, of course, Katie June,
hi.
Marnie Ryer,
hello.
Al Perkins.
Oh, without the bright white light on my head.
No, thank God. Yeah, just pre-show, we had a brighter light.
Thank God for all of us.
Right?
They took that
The funny thing is, do you remember about 2 months ago, y'all fought me, telling me that that light was on during every show?
No, you specifically.
Oh, we did.
Yes, you did.
I don't know that I fought you on
it. And just for you viewers at home, this is what Al thought we had.
No.
So, no, we don't.
Clayton, you were right.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, of course I'm right. I write all these things down. Now, just out of camera shot and for reasons we can only explain later.
Can you be named?
The executive director of Phoenix Pride is just sitting in here. Justin Owen is sitting in studio with us just because he's bored.
Hello.
He's not going to necessarily be on the show, but he just sort of wanted to see how this takes place. This is it.
Ta-da. There it is.
He has a shocked face on.
You're right.
Those of you that can't see.
You are welcome, sir or ma'am, depending on how you self-identify. Holy heck, it's just been a busy, busy week. So many things going on. I've signed up to do more shit because my plate wasn't already full enough.
Do you want champagne?
No, I'm good. I have my Crown and Diet. By all means, if you have a beverage at home, we encourage you to drink along, though responsibly, with us. Later on, in the beginning of the second hour, I will give us what our drinking game word is, and I have no clue at this point what it'll be, but...
Me neither.
It'll be good, I'm sure.
I don't know, but is this good? Is this bad?
I don't know. It's, well, we'll not necessarily mention the...
Yeah, it's got all the right words in it, though.
Well, champagne.
Pinot Grigio.
A little toast.
Free.
To our second to last.
Yes.
L'chaim. In Studio B.
B. We're moving
to Studio C.
Studio C.
Beautiful people.
And we will be looking and sounding the same.
Very similar to this. I actually just measured the rooms today. The other room is a little wider. This is a 16 by 10. The doors are the same size. This studio is 16 by 10. The new room is a little wider. I think it's a 12, but I think it's a 12 by 12. So we'll figure it out. It'll look very similar. We'll all sound just as annoying as we do now.
There seems to be 4 feet of space on this, so we're good.
Right, so you'll be fine. I think we're going to tilt the table a little bit, but it'll all work out. But yeah, so in next, though it will mean really nothing to all of you, we will have our last live broadcast in Studio B right now, where we are now, and then we will move to a new Studio C at locations not yet mentioned.
I'm excited about Studio C.
I am too, because we'll have a built-in full kitchen. So then we can have chefs come in and cook for us.
We could have dinner there.
That's a lovely idea. We have somebody impromptu. Well, your dad still is going to come in. We'll save your dad to the new location because he is itching to be our guest bartender for us.
Yes, he is.
Oh, that's right. He brought it up at.
I'm sure he did.
Dancing with the Bar.
Yes, he did.
That's him.
Yes.
I want to be there.
Well, he can. Let's make sure there's a fire extinguisher handy, though, because I don't know. He may get crazy in that kitchen.
It's entirely possible.
Okay, but there's no flame. I have an electric range.
He grills.
And how fun.
And I mean, let's not stop him.
33 years?
My parents
34?
Married
38
years.
My numbers are off
on the 16th of this month. Happy anniversary,
it was Madonna's birthday
and Elvis's death. Right.
Busy day.
A lot was going on.
All the same year?
Well, as we do every week, we go around the table, find out what everybody's been up to. So, Katie, we start with you.
Well, I have to tell you guys that I've actually had a very nice, calm week, which is exactly what I needed after.
Starting any new diets this week? Marty's laughing, but you know it's true.
No,
but only because Aaron said, "So what's Katie eating this week?" And I just thought that was fantastic.
No, nothing new. Although, I need to find something new. I did one day this week. I'm like, okay, I need to be paleo. I couldn't make that happen. I'm like, okay, I need to go back to no gluten. I couldn't make that happen. I'm not You know what I need is something to look forward to. Like, I need something to work toward.
Every Tuesday you get here. I think that is some, that is a goal. But though low,
I think you should start the god-awful grapefruit diet. When was that big? The 70s, the 80s?
I think it was the 80s. I want to say the 80s.
I'm considering, like, making a go at the cabbage soup diet.
No. The other option that I've never heard.
It's a 12 by 12 room.
Thank you. I was just thinking that. Ooh, stinky.
Cabbage farts. That's all I'm saying. They are a real thing.
We may have found our drinking word this early. Oh, by the way, let's give a shout out. I noticed earlier, Okinawa Danny is on Enlightening in Japan. Now, I wonder if he has a friend because two people are listening from Japan. So I wonder if he's spreading joy, spreading our joy.
Danny's promoting us
in Okinawa.
Overseas.
Yeah,
Harrison's with us.
Yes, I see Harrison.
I started to watch.
And Jeffrey, I saw Jeffrey. I think Jeffrey, I saw him at Charlie's on.
Yeah, and he's not only walking in the AIDS walk, he is the captain of Team Charlie's, I believe.
Oh, very
if I'm
lovely.
Not mistaken. I think I was going through looking at being nosy on everybody's AIDS walk page. Mm-hmm. I'll put a link up on the thing for mine.
Yes. In fact, I posted the links for all of us. Or you hadn't done yours yet?
Yeah, mine's done. Okay. I just haven't put it up on Facebook yet, which is stupid.
But well, no, but I went through and looked at everybody.
I've already raised $400.
Yes.
Yeah, well done.
You're literally in like third place.
That's well, of course he is.
It's amazing.
I hold people hostage.
He's a fucking overachiever. Have you met him?
It's so great. I'm on my way.
You got to have 25.
You got 25.
Oh, I raised 25, excuse me.
Yes. Oh, by the way,
I'm Kelly.
And by the way, my mom listening out there, I'm assuming you want to do AIDS Walk with us again this year. Just give me a text, let me know, and I will sign you up and give you.
She signed mom up. She didn't have a choice.
Really?
She didn't have a fucking choice.
Okay.
Well, I took the whole weekend off, too.
Oh, I love it.
I know.
It's going to be a fun weekend. And I have to tell you, I was at Walgreens yesterday.
I'm not doing any of it, but I took the whole weekend off.
I was at Walgreens, and, you know, when I was checking out, and they said, would you like to donate a dollar more to AIDS Walk Phoenix? And I stopped and went, oh. And the girl looked at me like, oh my God, did I say the wrong thing? You know, and I said, I would not like to donate a dollar, but let me tell you what I am doing. And it was just exciting. I said, I have a team, and I got real excited. I think way more than she anticipated because she was just like, do you want to give a dollar?
Yeah.
But it was exciting. I said, I had forgotten that Walgreens was a major sponsor of the AIDS Walk. So it was very cool to go into my local Walgreens and have them ask me if I wanted to donate. So. Thanks, Walgreens. Awesome.
I'll have to find something to buy at Walgreens.
It was cool. Yeah, it was really cool. I have to tell you, after last week, we had kind of a little impromptu, meeting out here, the four of us here, and then it continued.
There was an hour four on broadcast.
I thought you meant you and Kelly because if you're going out.
No,
I wasn't sure
you
were going with that.
And we went out into the parking lot, and y'all have to tell you, I walked away with no less than 26 mosquito bites
me too.
On my legs.
Yeah, I had a bunch.
I want to try to show you.
Oh, hang on a minute.
I have to tell you that God and I have some kind of a deal going that mosquitoes do not come near me. We're eating alive in P-Town and Niagara Falls.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And that's like.
Can the viewers see that? I think they can. Look at that. That's lovely. It's a lovely shot.
I think they're all thanking God it's not high def at this point.
Yes.
And it is. Yeah, no, it was really bad. Jesus. And
I had it.
Didn't totally notice until the next day. Okay. And
when malaria set in.
Oh my God. It was awful. You know, and I had them right on the Achilles right there in the back where it's really hard to scratch. Oh. I had them on my toes, on my feet, all over my legs, up my thighs, like up my shorts. And I actually, yes, the mosquitoes getting fresh.
Do you have lice?
I do now. Or I did. I did. No, I don't really have lice. But I mean, that's how I felt. I was itch. It was awful. And
I'm sure Justin's so happy he sat in for this portion of the show.
I actually had to look to see. I thought maybe I was like standing in a nest. They don't nest, though. I Googled and I did my mosquito research.
Were you standing in a puddle?
No.
No, it was. There was a lot.
I have to tell you though, like when we were in,
because I only wear jeans. That's
everywhere
why.
That I went this summer, when I was on vacation, everyone was getting eaten up alive.
And you know,
and maybe one or two bites the whole time. Didn't put any bug spray or anything. I tell you,
no.
Me and Mother Nature have a little deal going.
But,
keep those fuckers away from me.
I think there's a little bit of a obviously.
And
everybody's
you'll kick them dogs.
I won't pee in the ocean. Yeah.
Everybody's whatever.
And I let them down on my end of the deal. Right. I peed in the ocean.
There's obviously a chemical makeup in everybody that's different because I remember my mom's father. He worked outside all the time, flower beds in the lawn, so on. Nothing. Hornets, wasps, bees, mosquitoes. Nothing ever touched him. Ever. I could be standing right next to him, and I could be stung or whatever. But like he would stick his hand in like poison ivy working in the yard or do something. Never got it. Never had anything happen to
him. So wild.
That is wild.
Well, and my sister and I have that same kind of a makeup, but I lived With Allie, my friend Allie, who I think I introduced you guys to at Dancing with the Bars. She was my Nantucket girlfriend. Right. And
careful how you define that.
Well, I was just going to say, there's a Creamer anointment for anything she may have.
My Nantucket friend.
Yes. Allie, if you're just learning of these indiscretions.
My Mantucket friend. you know, we called it Mantucket. Anyway.
Mantucket. Got it.
We
lived in the same room and, you know, had two beds in one little room, and I woke up every morning with bites, new bites from God only knows what, and she never got bit.
Well,
never.
Yeah, it's a weird.
I'm just so sweet.
Yeah, that's why. It's got to be something, because my sisters get eaten alive. Like, they actually go in at a certain point, they're in such pain they go inside. Like,
I
don't think they've ever seen nighttime.
Yeah.
Now, if I may just interject this, not being a professional medical or speaker, apparently, is there an estrogen connection to this? Because you said it's
no
women.
Idea.
Marnie,
no.
Do you have issues with getting bitten by mosquitoes?
But you said you could.
It depends.
But just a couple on my arms, but not many. Like, really not a lot.
But we were
not
all
really
outside.
Here, but back home I did.
Oh, okay, back.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I don't know what the difference is. Oh.
I got nothing. I just take it as a...
There's that.
Thank God for that.
Well, lucky you. And yeah. Other than that, for me, other than my mosquito bite city...
Well, lucky you. Yeah. Is what that was?
Yeah, it was.
I think that means fuck off.
Right, there's that. Marnie?
I've heard that before.
What you been up to? You're shuffling a lot of papers. It's like a shell game down there.
It is.
Whole forest.
I'm playing memory down here.
Oh,
like,
are
the
you?
Memory game, yeah. Just got done with payroll. That's why I'm shuffling all the papers. Not true. Payroll's done tonight. But
yeah, but anyway. it's
there was
never.
A picture of a pelvic x-ray in there. So
there was.
Oh.
Not mine.
Oh.
Okay. I don't want to know you that well.
Not mine. Neither do I.
No, okay. Wow. All right.
So just been working on that. And I have a picture of something. I need to know.
Oh,
I can't wait. I love visualizations.
It's not the pelvic x-ray,
is this like
by the way.
What are those Rorschach pictures? Or what are they called?
It looks like that from the back.
No, not really. So
a lot of things look different from the back.
Will you please hand that to Clayton?
To me?
No. Now, so we have been trying to figure out that's with those right. God-awful trees that you hate.
Oh, the cum trees. Those are the cum trees falls in my yard.
Okay,
no, I don't think so, because that looks like the shit that falls off the tree in front of me.
Those are the cum trees. Those are a seed pod, but I don't think those are from...
The cum tree.
Those aren't from the one...
Don't they look like it?
They look similar, but I don't think those are. Those aren't the same ones from the... I call them mimosa trees. I don't know if that's what they're fucking called, but I hate them because they drop
trees.
Those pods.
Yeah. Right.
No, they're not. No, no. Not the cum trees.
No, it's not the cum trees, huh?
No.
Because it's right... It hangs over my car, and those fucking things are... It's worse than a bougainvillea. Goddamn.
We can tell you what the cum trees are. They're right out
they're
here.
They're right out here, yeah.
You
know the cum tree.
It's filthy. Have you been here for cum tree season?
Oh,
well,
disgusting.
He's lived here for years.
Yeah, he knows cum trees.
Right here. Because it was pretty intense.
In cum central.
The cum dumpster right out here in the cute
nice.
There's bukkake shots that don't smell as bad as this shit.
But doesn't that look
it does, but
remarkably similar?
Because this is in some sort of a bin for $4.69 a pound, clearly, well, I'm assuming it's a
bin. Oh, why would you buy that?
Yeah, it's a price. And remember, I told you people were coming by and they were shoving
now,
them in bags.
Hold on just a second. You said that this was at Fry's. You took this picture at Fry's. Why didn't you read the goddamn label?
Because it didn't say on there. I promise.
Okay.
I did.
You could have asked your produce director.
Someone would buy this shit that's littering my driveway?
I know.
I don't think it's the same thing.
It sure looks similar.
Those are like snap peas.
Those are bigger. Those are bigger than the seed. Yeah. The seed pods are flat.
At first I did think snap peas, but
no.
That's kind of expensive for snap peas.
Let's go back. Your mission. Go back. Go back to Fry's.
Okay.
Get a produce manager.
Like,
what
the hell
is that?
What the
right.
fuck is that?
Right.
And then I'm gonna bring in samples.
But I don't understand.
Then it's always fun to play a quick game of Marco Polo in the grocery store. That's fun.
Aaron and I play that everywhere we go, actually.
You've never been drunk in a grocery store and played Marco Polo?
Not one time ever.
Oh my God, it's so much fun.
We've always
clearly, that's why they stopped having 24-hour grocery stores.
They didn't stop.
Because of you. Here comes Perkins again.
Shut
it
up. Spirited game of Marco Polo, the grocery
turn off
edition.
The lights.
She's like, he's looking for ice cream and champagne. Get him the hell out of here.
Oh, Jeffrey, are you new to the area that you have not been here for cum season?
Because we always have the cum trees. It's the, you know, love is in the air. If you will.
Something's in the air.
Yeah, well, you can drive around certain neighborhoods. Well, I used to be the orange blossoms. I used to love certain areas you drive through, and the orange blossoms were lovely.
Me too.
That's what makes
so
it was pleasant, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I remember back in the early 90s when I used to drive back and forth to BS along the curve of Camelback, right there about 44th, there was a lovely grove of orange trees that were always in bloom, and it was lovely. But Now we're overrun by cum trees.
Nope.
And I don't know what the fuck the real name of it is.
It doesn't matter.
I have never
They're
known.
They're cum trees, and that's what they
Google
wrote me.
I'm going to Google it and see if anyone else calls
it. Oh, you
it.
Will.
Oh, they
you
do.
Find
they,
it.
Yeah, they could. Oh,
by the
up.
Way,
it
Justin,
comes up.
She Googles everything. She's our Google girl.
Very helpful.
Yeah, she does help. Yes,
Marty. And just the little update, we're getting closer with the house.
Okay. I have a question for you about the house.
Closer to livable or closer to what?
Closer to livable.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you sent me a text.
Now, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I bought a house once, long time ago, and it was a house that had...
Honey, if you're listening, go ahead and ignore.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there's that. So I bought a house that was abandoned by the previous owner. Mm-hmm. Power had been kept on in the house for literally years.
Yeah.
We didn't know. So in this house, there was a side-by-side, brand new, stainless steel, Jennaire freezer. It was full of meat. And then the power got cut from this house.
Oh, no. As it does.
A couple months later, we're like, what in gay hell is going on here? So I even had the police come in and investigate the house. So I'm like, there could be a body in this house.
Because meat is murder. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah.
Well, no. So they go in. The cops went in and discovered that what it was indeed this freezer that had, you know, expired with everything it was in it. Now,
that's hideous.
I found... Because I wasn't cleaning this up myself. I found a company that literally, I was looking for like a crime scene because it was so horrendous. Yeah. They suited up in like, you know, astronaut suits and came in and they did oxygen tanks and did the whole thing. They cleaned out this whole thing. And I'm almost 100% sure it was a grand for me to get them to come out and completely clean everything out of this house. Including they took
gelatinous, wasn't it?
Right.
Like all the meat was
horrible. Bleh. Anyway, so you sent me a text asking if I remembered the name of the company that cleaned up crime scenes, and I want to know why.
Well, because I just was kind of at my wit's end. I wasn't sure what to do.
Okay.
The house itself had quite an odor.
Okay.
Because underneath the house, I don't know if I had told you, but there was
cats or rats.
No, there was. Keep going.
Okay.
There was
everything.
All of the, you know,
Wild
it's
Kingdom.
A Dr. Seuss fucking poem is what it is.
Okay.
Keep going. And underneath it, like if you were to take a hose, for instance, and you turn it on full blast and just hold it up, and it just pours water, right?
Right.
Like you just see it.
Right.
There was a pipe that was open.
Okay.
And I think I had showed you a picture of it because I took a picture of it, and I'm like, this isn't right.
Okay.
Well. At the same time, we hadn't turned on the sink, but apparently when you did that, it just flowed out.
Okay.
So every time you turned on the sink, wash dishes, clean wash your hands, whatever it is, fill the dog's water bowl. I mean, water was just pouring out of this thing. So it was like a swimming pool underneath the house.
Okay. I'm still not close to
all
crime scene.
Because the smell was so
the mold.
Intense.
Got it.
And so I thought, oh my God, for all of it. Well... Since we've gotten that fixed and we're just sealing up the floors. Really? Really thought that was off. My bad. Sorry.
All of a sudden, New Direction is playing in the show.
My bad.
There you go.
Anyway, the I thought it was just that water and moldy and this and that. Well, in the back bathroom, that isn't really a bathroom, but that's another show.
Okay.
Did she see this house before she bought it? Yeah, she
okay.
did. Yeah. And there was an inspection.
No. And there's a lawsuit coming.
There's a whole lot of shit that happened. So anyway, there's quite an odor of rodent.
Oh.
And I've seen one. I almost threw out my shoulder. I don't know if you guys remember that. There, a mouse came out, Feifel, fucking came out and stared at me. And I screamed like a little bitch and ran, went to run out the door and hit my shoulder. Kind of threw my shoulder.
Where did it climb out and look at you?
The bathroom where we were doing the plumbing. We'd open the wall. And it kind of, and I'm like, oh, hell. Anyway, so there have been three or four.
Oh, God.
And the smell, we give it, I call it money, Jamaican food. I call it Jamaican food because it's little green things. So it's like money. And I say they're going on vacation, so no one can say I'm killing them.
Oh, Jesus.
Then we just throw those in.
And remember, mice are fine. They happen. Mice is all well and good. It's when it turns to a rat.
Right.
Yeah. Then you move.
And it's when it turns
then
to the smell that it's a fucking problem. Because it's not livable in there. Like, you cannot, you can't.
So it's not livable currently?
Currently.
Oh, God.
You can't.
Oh, wow.
And it hasn't been for a very long time.
No, I can't remember. Did we ask her, is she really going to pursue any kind of legal action against
right now.
We're inspection looking, company or?
We're looking into everything. I've done some, part of that's what some of the papers are, but I have done so much looking into.
Damn,
but there's no thing you can just put your finger on.
Right, right.
There's not one thing that you can say, well, they knew that.
Unlivable.
That's one thing. She bought it.
That's one
thing. No. But one. When she bought it, absolutely, that's not the case. So it's really, really hard to say you knew, but they knew. Somebody had now to know with all this
the
shit.
The guy that inspected my house was nervous because the air conditioning got installed that day. Like, he was a nervous wreck to leave because they had just installed the air conditioning and they put the plate up for the thermostat. They had put that on the wall, and he's like, I don't want to sign off on this house. I haven't seen this work. I mean, this was what my inspector did.
Mm-hmm. So he ran the dishwasher.
Mm-hmm. He ran all the water. Right. He had all the water running. He had all the electricity on. That's why I can't figure out.
But how do you see what's underneath the house?
Well, I don't know about that, but I do have somebody who might be able to help you. A friend of mine named Sam
His
own home inspection company. He might be able to give you some avenues. Sam Jarrell is a friend of mine.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, on Monday, it'll be 4 months since she bought the house.
And the bummer part is that she was so excited.
Yeah.
As anyone is when they buy a new house and it's so exciting.
And she hates it. And it's just so frustrating because...
So is she living with you now at your house?
No, she's out at her parents' again because of the
that
dogs.
That sucks.
Oh.
Because of the animals. So so the whole thing is just too much where you're sitting there. But that smell, that was why. And I thought, I don't know what else to do.
Okay. Gotcha.
So we've taped it off. And I put mothball kind of things. Not mothballs, but this thing... that you can put in the closet.
I go for straight up mothballs
at this
point.
No, but they didn't have any. So
and the cedar,
because
the
not 1945.
I have those in my house.
They just didn't where I went. They didn't have them. So I got the thing that you
I've got those in every closet.
And I chopped it up, like whatever, with the hammer, and we just started throwing it in the walls and throwing because apparently they don't like the smell of it.
Good. Get the
So I
out.
Walked through the door. Now, boys, are urinal cakes made out of mothballs?
Oh, good Lord.
I'm not sure what
the don't even know where you're going with that.
Because that's what it smells like. It smells like a fucking urinal cake in the house.
Which is better than
I'm not going to lie about that. So now you have a big boy's bathroom.
Wait. So I missed a whole rodent species? There's bats in the walls?
No. No.
Bats?
Oh, I thought you just said bats.
No, mice.
Rites,
no, mice
rats.
Don't like.
Oh, I thought you just said bats. I'm like, all right, hold on a second, lady.
No, I would
I'm starting to
it.
Think that
we're leaving Disney territory and going into like horror movies.
There
shit.
Would accidentally be a fire.
I'm thinking that fire is going to be the solution to this and just build a new goddamn house.
Yeah, yes.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yes.
The bulldozers are just backs up.
That's the life and times of that. Well, I'm sorry to hear all that.
Well, this is a cautionary tale against homeownership.
Oh, right. You know, it really is.
She really should have bought mine.
I know. Oh,
absolutely.
That would have been a wonderful thing for everybody.
A couple of stolen TVs versus all
of
this.
But we got that all fixed now.
Oh, yeah.
It's a fortress.
Al can barely get out of the house. Or that might just be his own choice.
It's a 10-step. It's not really worth it at the time.
It's just sad, but we're getting it there. So it's good. It's
okay,
good.
Well, moving on to happier tales. Al, Jesus, I hope you got something a little more... More inspiring.
I just a busy week at work, and it's now I was orienting somebody, and that's just the weirdest fucking thing in the world to like pretend I know enough to teach someone else something. It's just strange. And then I had that class last week after doing the show here.
Right.
Oh, and it was the worst written test I've ever taken in my life. But luckily, everyone in the room was like, "What the fuck is this?" Like. And no cheating. We can't do this without cheating.
What did you get for number five?
You know how bad it was? What'd you get for number one? I was on question number one of a 50 question test for about 10 minutes.
Oh.
Yeah. I was like, I'm done. I got nothing.
Alex Trebek, is it going to help you?
It was ridiculous. And I'm not sure if, I don't know who from the restaurant is working, but if you took that fucking test... It was. I needed a drink, a priest, a...
Anything. Lovely.
Yeah, so that was it for my week. And then a couple movies and...
I'm sure. And well, I'm sure we're going to hear about
and
it
then
in the entertainment section.
Yesterday was like 24 solid hours of sleeping. I could not wake up to save my life. I just worked so much that, you know, and I work Sunday. So Monday, I'm like, oh, I'll just sleep for like 2 or 3 hours. And when I wake up, I'll do some stuff. Yeah, I woke up. Isn't I did some stuff like go back to bed.
Fluff the pillow.
Exactly.
Right.
Flush the toilet twice. I mean, it was a really exciting day. It was like the only thing. And I was back. I woke up at 6:45 maybe. And I went back to bed at 11:15. I was like, that's enough.
4 hours of TV.
I've seen all I need to see. I didn't even have a TV on.
Enough of this day.
I was just staring at a wall like, Jesus.
You didn't have TV on in your house?
I'm sure I watched something, but I didn't stay awake for any of it.
Got it. And this, well, I realized we were
Anderson Cooper would say something. He would lull me back to sleep. I would roll over, wipe the drool.
That is what it is. Oh, well, on my world, it feels weird because, you know, part of the Studio C is that Jason Carlton is moving in with his boyfriend Shane in a house that they have rented, and so that move starts.
And Shane
today.
Is so cute.
He is adorable, very nice.
He's cute,
good kid.
Cute.
And where are they moving to? Where's the house?
Well, they're closer to you. They are.
Too bad it's not yours.
No, yeah. Right, yeah. There's that. Well, where Mariposa dead ends behind Charlie's, that last house. Right there on 11th Avenue.
Oh, yeah. There was a fire truck there last night.
Ooh.
Don't think it's related.
Okay. Hope not.
But anyway, that's where they're going. Okay. So for those of you who want to know where they live.
Full on. All the sirens, the whole thing, because they turned down Mariposa. And I'm like, oh, my God, there's got to be somebody that
I have no earth idea.
Works at Charlie's.
I have no idea what that's.
Is that street right behind there where all the Charlie's employees live?
Yeah.
I just think it's cute that everyone kind of lives there. I like it.
So anyway, that's where they're moving. So that process has started. Now, Jason's lived with me for a little over a year. So it's just odd that process is starting. It feels weird. Like all of a sudden I'm realizing all the things that are in my house that are going to leave.
Yeah. Sure.
Which is fine. I mean, I don't need, Jesus Christ, I've never had needed that much liquor in my house ever. Because he stockpiles shit for in case we ever entertain.
She's ready for a party.
And we don't party. I don't entertain in my house. So that's that.
No,
so
he doesn't entertain.
No.
Yeah, Jason.
Yeah, Jason does. Sure. So that process.
I raised her. I know she throws that throw a party.
So that process has started, which feels odd. So that's happening. And then yesterday, I told Katie this already. I had a meeting because I need more shit on my plate. But I was asked to take over and coordinate something. I am now for next year's rodeo, gay rodeo here in Phoenix. I am the entertainment director for all of that.
Good.
Yes. Yeah, we'll see how well that goes. The stipulation is... The stipulation is the 3 days of rodeo, I can't drink. And I'm like, well, I'm good. Oh. I can do that. I can
is
do that.
Is that really part of the deal?
Absolutely, it's part
That's
of the deal.
Interesting.
Because you don't want... Well,
I can see that.
Last year, they
had
a bar manager that was wasted and got fired for that. I'm like, you can't be running an event and be... like.
Sure.
Can you imagine, for example, not that Pride is in the house, but by any means, but can you imagine being a stage manager trying to run Pride and being wasted?
And actually, what I was just going to say is when I'm like, what? But I have volunteered for entertainment for the last few years for Pride, and it's... And we just don't drink. It's just part of the deal.
Right.
Like, but I have more fun...
Remembering what you're doing.
That, yes. But I have, you know, after the first year that I volunteered, I, you know, for the entertainment and backstage, I said I have more fun working than I ever did just coming and having drinks. And maybe that's just my person. You know, they're the involved people, the joiners. Mm-hmm. We join and that's really fun for us. So, you know. It's like more fun to go and join and do stuff than it is to just go booze.
So anyway, that's my world. Plus, we've all got to mention that all of us are signed up for AIDS Walk under the Barbara Seville, Wonderful 100 group. So by all means, you can donate to any one of us if you'd like to join. Simply
please donate
go,
to me.
See, also me.
Go
no, me.
To
not Al because he's
third place.
He's in third place of overall fundraising.
He's so good, like all the fundraising.
Yeah. I don't know how he holds people hostage. Wirelessly, but he does. I'm not sure. But anyway, so you can go to the AIDS Walk page, find us, Google all of our names, or search our names if you want to donate to us on that. Or by all means, join us, join the Barbara Seville
Wonderful 100. Oh, that'd be fun too. Join the Wonderful 100.
We arrive at Charlie's at 6 a.m.
That's what Jason did.
It's going to be so fun. Right. It'll be fun.
Free breakfast at Charlie's. We load up, we take a big group picture, we get on the light rail, we go downtown, we do the walk. That is
you get
also,
the cool shirt.
Yeah, we get a shirt. I'm not sure what the design is this year. I haven't seen that yet. And then also, that's Rainbow's Festival weekend. So you've also got the chance to do AIDS Walk and go right over to Rainbow's Fest if you want. Rainbow's Festival, and I'm not going to remember the name. His name is...
Rainbow Festival.
Never mind. Because that went out on an email blast today, right?
Steve Grand.
Brand. Grand, the gay country singer that just came out, had the song called American Boy.
Oh, right? We talked about it on the show.
Just
we played it.
Confirmed and is booked to perform at Rainbow's Festival.
Get out of town.
Yes, he is.
All right.
I never heard of him. Who is he?
You were Oakland. You were the one who introduced us to him.
By the way,
yes.
That was me.
Yeah.
Okay, but just kidding.
I think he looked at the video.
Yeah, because I sent the video to you, and then you guys watched it, and y'all were like, "Oh, he's so cute."
Yeah.
Oh, I think I was gone that week. No, honestly, I don't really, like. I never saw this person before in my life.
Yeah, he may have been gone that week. That's a good point.
I don't know. Well, look.
I'll let it go.
Go ahead. Look up gay country singer. See, and Charlie Pride is not going to come up. I guarantee you. I mean, even though you think with a name like Pride, but nope, not so much. Is he still alive? Charlie Pride alive? Let's look. Google that.
Okay,
done. Get right on that. Okay. Wow. We spent 30 minutes talking about rat shit and diets that don't work.
Don't say rat. Once rats come
or
in,
whatever they are,
it's a whole new deal.
Small ponies. I'm not sure what the fuck it is.
Either.
I'm sure you're not. We will be back in just moments. We've got some headlines coming up. Of course, in the second hour, Al gives us our drinking word. We have entertainment, some sports. Is the WNBA still going with something?
They're going on.
Okay. I'm just saying you got sports coming because we're going to ditch sports and go to political.
Yeah, I got it.
When we get out of the WNBA.
I got some spizzorts.
Okay. Spizzorts. We got that. All right. Well, stick around, won't you? 7:31. It's the show with Clayton McKee. I'm here with Katie, Al, and Marnie. We'll be back for headlines right after this.
Wait.
You're listening to Q Talk America.
I'm straight.
I'm gay.
I'm bisexual. And I give a damn about equality.
Want to know why?
Because one hate crime is committed approximately every hour of every day in this country.
Imagine walking down the street and wondering if this is the day you'll get beaten up or even killed simply because of who you are.
Because many gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender teens who come out to their parents are thrown out of their homes.
Imagine confiding in the people you trust most, only to be rejected and tossed out with no place to go.
Because during the past 16 years, over 13,000 men and women have been discharged from the military for being gay.
Imagine being willing to sacrifice your life to protect and defend this country, only to be kicked out of the military because of who you love.
These are just a few of the reasons why we care about equality.
It is time for things to change.
We all have to get involved.
We all have to give a damn. I give a damn.
This is the Q Talk America Radio Network.
Here we go with some headlines of varied stories right here on Q Talk America on a Tuesday evening. Holy hell. A man offers cash to kiss your ass.
There's a lot of people having sex with animals.
A bet over instant soup sparks a riot.
Conversion therapy? Not in New Jersey.
Ex-wife pays divorce settlements in pennies.
I want a plastic surgeon that only wants a 0 to a 2 size wife.
Man loses his license for driving too slow.
And somebody wrote an autistic a letter about an... child with autism, and she can go to hell.
It may be Marnie.
It may be me. Foiled. Foiled.
You could not get that line out of your mouth to save your life.
My bad.
Well, let's start off. Where else? Where does it all go wrong?
Oh, Florida.
Well, God damn it. I thought this was funny. A Florida suspect described as having, quote, man boobs is being sought out after he tossed a crumpled note that asked two women on a beach if he could, quote, kiss your butt for money.
Oh, my God.
The note from a heavyset man who is linked to 4 similar incidents read in part, quote, I'll give one of you 200 or each of you 100 if you let me kiss your butt. The man watched them from a distance as they read the note, then allegedly exposed himself. The women called police, who are asking for the public's help to find the culprit. There's a picture online. If you Google this and look for, Katie's going to Google it.
Ready.
Just go, the headline: man offers cash to kiss your butt. And there's a picture that they posted of him that I guess one of the girls took, like laying on the beach, and they've got his man parts blacked out. Oh my God, it's funny.
Or is it a black man?
No, it's not. It was a white man with man boobs, according to.
Okay, I wanted to make sure.
Oh my God, it was. So he crumpled up paper to throw it at them, and then they read it while he stands there. Do you see it? Do you see what I'm talking about?
No, I got it.
Oh, different story.
Yeah. She's looking at other man parts.
I looked up images, saw some butts, but no, not his.
You'll find it. In fact, it's one of the odd stories on AZ Central. That's where I found it, right there.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Oh.
Ryer?
Well, you know, so I said a lot of people have sex with animals, and that is true.
Oh.
But there's some different stories, and they're all short.
Thank you. I'll be here all week. Thank you. Boom, 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 boom.
So one of them involves utensils, not with an animal, kind of animalistic.
Oh,
but
I think I know where you're going with this story. Oh, my
70-year-old man.
Oh, Jesus. I know this one.
Decided that he needed to stuff a 4-inch utensil.
Oh, yep.
Into his weenus. Can't make that up.
Wow.
Can't make it up. Look, there's even a picture. Look, right there.
That's the crotch shot.
Right there. Look at that.
Why?
How does that actually
happen? You're 70.
Happen?
You don't even know what that is.
Even if you're 43, why are you shoving a fork in your penis?
Why use my age? I don't understand that.
It just kind of made sense.
Oh, what's your age, too?
Well, so yeah, exactly. So I just kind of,
Don't shove things up your penis, anyway, Marnie.
No, not today.
It's good advice.
It's really good
it's
advice.
It's sound advice.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that is possible because we're looking at it. An x-ray, but that doesn't seem possible.
They can Photoshop that, but everyone that works in emergency departments always tells you the shit that goes up people's tuchuses. I'll go Yiddish on this one.
So this guy's from Australia. Okay. Not really good things have been happening to folks from Australia this week, which is one of them's very sad. This is not because it's he's an ass. there are ways to bring happiness to your Johnson, it says, but sticking a fork in it isn't one of them.
Oh, yeah. That just tells you that it's done. Stuck a fork in it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the idea that he did this in an attempt to achieve sexual gratification. Fortunately, the report says the fork was successfully removed using forceps and copious lubrication.
Copious.
No, yeah. What?
How do you do that? Wait, you guys, is it physically possible?
Apparently. I got a picture right here. Right there.
It's got to be like a crab fork or something.
I mean, I don't have a penis, and
You've never had one?
And I don't claim to have one on TV, but yeah. I just can't, and I don't play one. Envision how that hole seems real small and not possible to put things in.
No, and you shouldn't.
It's a 4-inch utensil, by the way. That's all.
But is the handle on the fork?
Oh, but that's only,
it's tiny.
So four inches.
Like my
and he's 70.
Like a little Correct.
I keep 70.
Well, maybe he was trying to feed himself, but wrong hole. I don't know.
No.
Maybe could happen. No. Could happen in his nether regions. Anyway, so there are a ton of other things that I have here for weird news, but we can save those things because they just make me laugh.
Oh, okay.
Lots of animals.
Of animals.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, now we're going to go back. Midwest. There always seems to be stuff happening in the Midwest. The Minnesota Court of Appeals will not return the driver's license of a man who lost it for driving too slowly on state highways. Gary Constance is 59 years old, and he says he doesn't understand why authorities have a problem with his driving. I don't drink. I don't smoke. He says, I'm just
why
a different driver. Yeah, I thought it was Adam for a second.
What do you do?
Drive slow.
God damn it, Adam.
Right?
The appeals court said that 9 warnings from law enforcement officials were enough to keep Constance off the roads. Constance has repeatedly disregarded warnings from law enforcement officers that his driving creates, quote, dangerous driving conditions for everyone on the 2-lane highways, which I can understand. I mean, if you're not going with the flow of traffic, you're impeding, you're impeding traffic.
Sure.
He knows the rules of the road, but he chooses to ignore them despite increased risks to the public.
I like him.
Now, so here, Constance told the lower court judge that his Ford Ranger pickup truck's sweet spot for gas mileage is 48 miles an hour.
Oh, yes.
And that's what helped him put 278,000 miles on his Ford Ranger. And since he has only liability insurance on the aging vehicle, he wants to avoid hitting any errant animal that should run across its path. Well, a truck like that isn't worth anything. If I hit a critter, guess who buys the truck? Me. So I go really slow, so I have time to brake. In one case, the police say that Constance was doing 30 to 45 on a 55-mile-an-hour highway, according to the St. Paul Pioneer Press. Constance argued in court that evidence of impaired driving is required for law enforcement, and to find his conduct driving a threat to public safety was crazy. It's total communism, he told the Pioneer Press. There is no freedom anymore.
Yes, I bet he has a...
All those quirky Minnesotans.
Now, what's interesting about this story, and I'm sure we've all had this before, I refer to my mother's father all the time. He was a Continental Trailways bus driver forever, drove for millions of miles in a bus. But when he would come off of a route and he'd be home driving the Dodge truck that's stored in his garage, or the car, anything, he would pull out into traffic, and it'd be 20 miles an hour. Everywhere he went was 20 miles. Grandma drove like a bat out of hell.
Right.
But we always used to joke about, like, he's going to cause a fucking accident.
Sure.
Because he pulled, because we lived on a highway, and he would pull right out 20. He'd never get out of first gear between that and the quarter mile toward the light was. He really
and
wouldn't.
First gear first is so gear. Hard to stay in. It really is hard.
You've got to really mean that.
But yeah, so, but I read that story. I certainly That's thought funny. Of my grandfather.
I was kind of waiting for you to say Emil Ryer and that it was an older story because, you know, of course, he passed in January.
Yeah, no.
But, or he's just driving real slow still. Not sure what's happening.
I'll take it morbid.
Yeah.
So,
go ahead, please.
Is this a Ruthie story?
No, it's my dad.
Oh.
So, it was a bad day.
Yeah.
At his funeral.
Oh, yeah.
But we had a couple laughs
I've heard
at his
this
expense.
Story. I like it.
But, so the limo driver is just trying to, like, lighten the mood. And he's like, is there anything special that we can do for you? I'm like, if you run a couple... Actually, I didn't say it. I'm going to give myself credit. It was my sister. It was very funny. She goes, hey, if you can run a couple yellow lights on the way to the cemetery, that'd cheer him up in the back. It was priceless.
I enjoy that. That's good stuff.
Because God forbid my dad ever slowed down or like...
He gunned it at yellow?
Oh, he gunned it at red.
I think your dad and I
red
could.
Lights is kind of a, well, yeah.
Stop-tional.
Think about it. Yeah.
It's iffy. Yeah.
Proceed with some caution, but mostly just speed.
Go.
Yeah. Your dad and I could have like... we could have really well together. I would have appreciated
And my
that.
Sister used to say, do you drive like that with my daughter in the car? I'm like, of course he drives like that with your daughter in the car.
He's not gonna change.
One speed.
Right.
Yeah.
So, never stopping.
So I have, as I said, I have those funny stories and whatever, but this one that I couldn't read, that I couldn't, is because it got me so... fucking incense today when I read this.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Oh, like, okay. I couldn't...
If it's the one that we were talking about before.
I'm not sure.
So, someone in a neighborhood wrote to a family...
Oh, this story, yes.
Oh, no. This is different.
And
it's to the family of a boy with autism.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this letter that was written... And I sat there and I read it. And I have to tell you,
I have
not
read
a lot,
the letter. I know the story, but
I don't
read
even
the
know the story.
Not a lot surprises me. And this pretty much fucking shocked me that someone could be filled with this much intolerance, this much hate. And my, if you will, favorite, if I can have a favorite part of this letter, is that in it, this, someone has to go first, this cunt.
there's our first there C word is. Tonight.
And well deserved.
Oh, okay.
And it may be the most deserved one I have ever said, short of the first Jan Brewer one.
it's a given.
Right.
It's kind of her
So on this in this letter, she at the very end, she's like, well, nobody wants you to live here and with your this child who should be euthanized. Okay. That's just part of it.
That's the part that got Ashley Banfield all worked up.
She says in here, no one else has the guts to tell you, so I'm going to tell you. And then she signs it, one pissed off mother. Well, good for you, you cunt, because you couldn't even say your name. So if you have guts enough to say something, then step forward.
Own it. Right.
So anyway, this disturbing letter targeted a teen with autism. And the community and everyone has just kind of rallied. This has just been something. It was an anonymous note sent to a 13-year-old's grandmother, and it was in Ontario. Okay, and without reading the whole thing, I'll pass this around for you guys. But
you can Google this. It's on CNN. Yeah. It's on CNN's homepage right
Thank
now
you.
Too.
It is. Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of on any page that you go to, whether it's Yahoo, CNN.
And Ashley Banfield recently came out as Canadian. I was unaware of this affiliation.
Interesting.
But like three
you could
or
just
four
come
months,
out as that?
Yeah. Well, 3 or 4 months ago. Well, and you
Ted
know what?
Cruz did.
So did in Western New York. That's a dirt. Like that's like that's like Mexicans here. Like
well, he's renouncing it.
Oh yeah, they don't like Canadians up there where I'm from.
Like, oh no.
Uh-oh.
Oh my God, they're horrible about it.
They're stinky.
They're coming to steal the jobs, but they're white, so it's very confusing.
Love it.
There's that.
Thank you for that reprieve, because I kind of want to kill this bitch.
Okay.
I also live in this neighborhood and have a problem. This is to the lady living at this address. She has. You have a kid that is mentally handicapped, and you consciously.
Because that's news.
Right. Right. Because they didn't know that.
Oh, that's what that is. Wow. Yeah,
13
thanks.
Years old, and decided that it would be a good idea to live in a close proximity neighborhood like this, because she's really smart. You selfishly put your kid outside every day and let him be nothing but a nuisance and a problem to everyone else with that noise-polluting wailing he constantly makes. That noise he makes when he is outside is dreadful. All caps and lots of exclamation points. It scares the hell out of my normal children.
Oh.
When you feel your idiot kid needs fresh air, take him to our park, you dope. We have a nature trail. Let him run around those places and make noises. Crying babies, music, and even barking dogs are normal sounds in a residential neighborhood. He is not.
Oh, so crying babies, wow. You're all set.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But crying like teenagers,
yeah.
No can do.
Absolutely not.
Well, they're just crying because they can't get laid.
Yeah. He's a hindrance to everyone and will always be that way. Who the hell is going to care for him? No employer will hire him. No normal girl is going to marry or love him. And you're not going to live forever. Personally, they should take whatever non-retarded body parts he possesses and donate it to science. What the hell else good is he to anyone? You had a retarded kid. Deal with it properly. What right do you have to do this to hardworking people? I hate people like you who believe just because you have special needs kids.
And here's where she uses special needs. You like
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Do you like that?
She went from like capital letter retarded to all of a sudden politically correct. Yep. That's where me and Ashley had a little laugh this afternoon.
Special needs kid. You are entitled to special treatment. God. Do everyone in our community a huge favor and move. Vamos. Scram.
Meaning vamanos.
Vamanos.
Yeah, and exactly. Move away and get out of this type of neighborhood setting. Go live in a trailer in the woods or something with your wild animal kid. Wow. Nobody wants you living here, and they don't have the guts to tell you. Do the right thing and move or euthanize him. Either way, we are all better off. Sincerely, one pissed off mother.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I wish she would euthanize herself.
Oh.
Now there's little clues in here. Because Ashley just gave away that she was Canadian in a story a couple months ago where she was like, you know, I'm Canadian. I don't deal with this. And I was like, she's Canadian. But there's a couple words in here. There's a couple words
hindrance?
In here that she spells, she Americanized, that she spells the American way, not the Canadian way.
Oh.
So she was saying it'll be easy to find this person because they're probably... Like, they spell favor and a couple other words in, like...
F-A-V-O-U-R.
Yeah, there's a couple words where they're missing the Canadian U.
Yeah.
And, like, vamoose means... It means move along. But there should be another... Not vamanos, but it means vamoose.
Yeah, and but isn't there a way to find this person because she's that hateful-looking cunt that's walking down the street with that sour look on her face and nobody likes her?
And I'm looking. I hadn't seen it. So it's typed, so it's not like we can do a handwriting analysis.
Oh, no. But I mean,
and not just that. Right. Here's what I would do. I'd take my retarded fucking child with autism and I'd go to every goddamn door. And I'd be like, scream, honey. Scream. Yeah. Make some noise. Tell him you want some money.
Watch
her face.
Yeah. And then go to, take to each door and say, do you have a problem with my grandson or son or whoever? Or is it you that has the problem? Because someone's going to give it away.
I've got the guts to come door to door.
Exactly. Now, exactly. I have the guts to come to you face to face. So tell me.
I have a former coworker who has
incensed.
Who has a child that's on the autism spectrum or however they say that.
Yeah, you're right.
As the child got older, needs to run and scream, needs space. And so she likes to live. She has a house here and she moved back to where she lived previously because the property that they weren't able to sell during the recession, now it's worth money. They're moving back there. But it backs up to a forest. And she was kind of thinking of her child's safety, the environment of like just letting, not feeling any kind of self-consciousness about letting the child like just go. Right. And it was a big safe area. And then, but to make the story horrible, the government sold the land behind her house as a hunting.
A hunting range.
So she had to go and like overbid and buy the land back so there wouldn't be people shooting guns behind. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
That's awful.
Well, you know, the interesting piece is, and Katie,
but just
I don't know.
So, I mean, there is somebody out there with that. But still,
I don't know if you can Google this or if it even matters, but it has in this thing, and I thought the same thing, because of course I went straight to, well, freedom of speech.
Oh, Canada doesn't have a First Amendment.
Right. So all of a sudden I'm like, wait, this is Canada. And it says, from its tone, the letter could be considered anything from abusive to threatening. Or even perhaps criminal.
And the word euthanize in there makes it threatening, because Canada doesn't have a freedom of speech part of the and then they have a constitution, I'm sure they manage that.
Absolutely. But. Yeah. It's
spelled different.
It's European.
Right.
You know, just the idea, I guess Twitter has just kind of blown up with people responding to this. But it just, for those of you that are listening that don't know, I work and have for 23 years with people with developmental disabilities.
That's why she's on the show.
I'm
supposed to be the voice of reason as the social worker.
But she's used the R words more time in that story than I have.
Well,
absolutely. You're quoting.
Right. No, it's not even quoting. It's the
kidding.
Idea. You got to be kidding me.
Yeah,
I was
somebody's
like,
that.
Who does that?
Right.
Right? I mean, the idea of being that angry and that crazy all at the same time.
And kids are kids.
And intolerable.
Like I have.
But he's 13, right?
No,
so that's where the discussion I was wanting to have.
But I ran around my neighborhood and yelled when I was 13 also.
I have. You do it now. There's a group of children that play basketball right outside my bedroom window.
Sure.
Right. Screaming and yelling. I mean, they're moving soon, hopefully, but not because they play baseball. But that's the thing. They could be autistic. They could be.
Sure.
Normal teenagers.
Yeah, it could be anything.
Typical. Sure.
Typical,
right.
Yeah.
Sure.
I don't know. It's just screaming kids. What the fuck's
the
difference?
Or it could be the drunk guy that lives across from me and a couple houses down, who literally is an alcoholic that comes out into his front yard and also just yells.
Katie, that was me. No. That was April.
Yeah. I mean, but,
sorry about
but this
that.
Guy comes out, and Kelly and I have said before, like, we're like, what's happening? And we kind of walked out, and he's just yelling in his front yard. And I'm certainly, I mean, it's irritating, but he's a nice enough guy, and he's drunk, and he's on his own property, and he's not harming any of us.
Yeah.
And just let him yell. And he just yells.
And there's a courtyard, I mean, right across from my house is the courtyard of the buildings, the condos across from me. And the kids are just screaming and yelling, and I sleep all day.
They're
got a few new windows.
I got new windows, and I keep the white noise on in my house all the time. But I'm not going to be like, stop your kids from playing in the sunshine. Like, what the fuck?
And where I completely appreciate.
But again, I have no idea if they fall anywhere on a scale
on
of developmental
spectrum.
Delays. But they're loud. Children like dogs are loud.
This
person's just retarded. Sorry.
Okay, well, let's move back. Let's go back to Florida.
Please.
All things good happen in Florida.
I'd like to send this country to Florida.
Well, male teens
at a...
Exactly.
I'm
surprised
she's not already there.
Like, let her find out with a truly disturbed her living.
There's that. Male teens at a juvenile detention facility destroyed several buildings and sparked two fires during a riot, injuring seven people, authorities said, from this past Sunday. 18 of the 20 buildings at Avon Park Youth Academy were destroyed, causing hundreds of thousands of dollars in damage. Rioters confiscated a guard's radio on Saturday night, and all of the staff golf carts set fire to the building containing the teens' records. A trash bin was also set ablaze, according to the Polk County Sheriff's officials.
This was a full-blown riot.
Building after building, room after room, the damage could be seen throughout the campus for juvenile delinquents. The worst was in the medical building, where deputies say every drawer was ransacked in a search for drugs.
I was here last night. I watched them throw the objects at us and our deputies. I watched them break windows.
Polk County Sheriff Grady Judd says the riot was sparked by a wager over a basketball game between kids from Orlando and St. Petersburg. The bet? Cups of noodles. When St. Pete lost and refused to settle up, the fighting started. Buildings were set on fire, golf carts were smashed into walls, and seven kids were sent to the hospital, one with a broken leg. Jill Elkington says she was never informed about the riot and drove 3 hours to find her son after hearing about it in the news. She's filed complaints against the facility in the past for how the kids are treated.
We're paying for this. We're paying for these kids to be abused.
Sheriff Judd had little sympathy, saying many of the kids were the size of adults and knew right from wrong.
The parent that had that complaint should have raised her child right so he wouldn't have committed crime and been there in the first place.
That is my favorite line of the whole thing. If she would have raised her child right, he would not have been in the first place. But she literally, when she made that comment, I saw the audio, and she goes, well, we are paying to have these kids abused. Like, no, wrong wording, no. Wrong
yeah,
wording.
Yeah. Right. She's a smart one, that one.
Oh, she was a special.
Did she write a letter in Ontario?
I don't think so. Don't think so.
Well, so there was a gentleman who rode a horse into a bar.
Define road.
Well, man rides a horse into a bar. And the bartender says, we don't want him in here. Horse replies, I know, but I can't get him off my back.
How about a stick here? Hey. Be here all week.
Here all day. Oh. So, yeah, you're from Louisiana. We're close to Florida.
We're down
close.
There.
It's We're
in
down
the,
that
it's
way.
In the Seattle.
The bayou.
Yeah.
So, easy there, cowboy. He rides his horse right into the bar. He had gotten a little cocktailed.
Mm.
James Moulton, 26. And he roped a man with a lasso.
Gay bar?
Nope. Because that's why this caught my eye.
Because
I thought, he had to have. It says lassoing a patron.
You would think. Lassoing a patron.
He was a Charlie's.
That's what they call it.
And then I made sure it wasn't you.
Well, that's just good. That's just good manners.
Good research.
Good
thank
manners.
You.
You're welcome. He entered the bar just after midnight, and the place is called the Cowboy Saloon. And after a few too many drinks, he left. He went. He packed his horse basically from the parking lot because he had it packed into one of those trailer things.
Oh, and the horse trailer.
I call it unpacking.
I don't know what you call it.
Whatever. Open the door.
You de-trailered your horse?
You de-trailered.
I don't know what you call it.
Well, that sounds like something from Honey Boo Boo.
Okay.
And
everybody's
anyway.
A little gay.
Don't ever do that again.
Okay.
He mounted it, and there you have it. That's what I'm talking about.
Returned
to the bar. And they tried to guide him out, the patrons in the bar, because they knew he was a little cocktailed. Anyway, highly intoxicated, according to the police. And a concerned patron of the bar escorted him out with his horse. I'm going to take you and your horse out of this bar right now. Once he was outside, he roped a 47-year-old man with a lasso and dragged him through the parking lot.
Oh, my God.
Police say he then rode his horse to his parents' house and walked back to the bar. Do you know what that reminded me of?
Awesome.
A couple of things I'm thinking of. What are you thinking of?
Well, there was this one night. I didn't have a horse. But
oh, I know. I know the story.
Did you lasso somebody?
No, the story. Okay, here's
but
the story.
If I had a lasso, I might have. I don't know.
May I tell this story?
I was Kung Fu Panda. Yeah. That's all I know.
Let me tell you this story.
Yep.
So... Actually, it was the night it started at your house.
Yes, it did. Hello, Appletini.
Oh, the Appletini night.
The Appletini night.
Oh, poor
so
your mom.
We decided.
I mean, I talked to her about George
long time.
Michael for a
right,
really
trying
long
to book him for my birthday.
I was going to get him.
Just $1 million.
The birthday.
Anyway,
why not?
So we start at an afternoon of lovely drinking at Al's house, and we all decide that
at
we're going to. Oregano's. Then went to Al's house, and then we decided. Well,
oh, that's danger.
We're going to go to karaoke at Apollo's.
Sure,
of course we are.
So
I can sing.
We're all going. She's pretty good into the wind, and so I'm okay. So I drive us to Apollo's, and we're there for a while. We're there for about 10 minutes because she.
I was going to say I don't think it was even 10 minutes.
She was sitting. She was still smoking,
I was still smoking.
At the time, and she's sitting on a lawn chair on the back patio of Apollo's, and she drops the cigarette, and it falls right. She can't reach it from this side. She can't reach it from this side. So it's like a turtle on its back. So she can't get her cigarette.
Oh my God!
She can't get the cigarette. So I corner one of the bar staff and I'm like, I need you to open the back gate of the patio because I'm parked right there and I'm just going to get her out of here.
Yeah.
No, we're not going to go back through the bar. I'm just going to get her out of here. So they open the gate and I'm like,
may I? He had the Hummer at the time.
Yeah.
And I'm a midget.
Which you had to crawl. Like, yeah. Even I
had to crawl up into.
Yeah.
Now do it drunk.
Yeah. So yeah. When we arrived and you got out, you slid out of it and you hit the ground.
You're like, Marm, don't get out.
And she's like, I'm Kung Fu Panda. And she does the whole Kung Fu Panda. So she drops the cigarette. I get her back out of the bar. I get her loaded up.
Pretty.
And remember, my 40th birthday is coming. It's approaching.
Right,
and we
yeah.
planned the roast. So we're driving, and I drive down 16 or drive down Bethany to the 51. And she's holding my hand on the console. And she starts crying. She goes, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm like, what, Marn? What? She goes, I can't speak at your roast. I'm not going to be funny. So, like, Marnie, don't worry about it. You'll be fine. I'm like, tell this story, for God's sakes. This is funny. So we get all the way to her house, and I get out of the Hummer, and I get her out of the Hummer, and I get her inside. And she unlocks the 78 locks that get to her front door. It's like watching it run Rhoda, you know,
yeah,
all that.
Yeah.
So she gets inside, and then I close the security door. So between she and I is the security door. I'm like, okay, Marn, you're good. She goes, do you want me? She says, so do you want me just to drive back to the bar?
Take a cab.
Take a cab back to the
bar.
Should
I call a cab to go back to the bar?
I'm like, no, Marn, you wanted to come home.
I do.
Okay. Good thing I didn't have a horse.
Oh,
that was the best.
The moral
how
of the
do you
story,
want me to get back to where we just came?
I picture you like standing, but like sad panda standing behind the.
Should I take a cab?
She was sad panda.
What do I do?
Oh my God.
And my poor friend Kara.
Oh, God bless her.
She was the other victim of the Appletinis. She's trying. So I tell her, I'm like, no, we got to go to karaoke. Because she's a singer. Like, she's a music teacher.
Yeah.
I'm like, you got to go. So she's like, I think I'm going to throw up. So I gave her my popcorn bucket to throw up in. I'm like, just throw up in this for the ride. You'll be fine.
And then you can sing like
and
a bee.
And she brought the popcorn bucket into the bar. She didn't puke in it.
Thank God. Okay, it's the end of hour one. We got a couple more headlines to get to. So many more things to discuss. It's the show. Boy. Hour two's coming up. Our drinking word. Stick with us, won't you, please?
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening once again. Hi, it's the beginning of what we like to call Hour 2. If you're just joining us, it's your Hour 1. We have two more hours to go. This one and another one that follows it. Trust me, we're drinking now, so hour three is always the better choice. Well, maybe not for you, but for us.
You might want to rethink
Katie
that.
Right now is in Studio A making another beverage, I believe, for herself.
Atta girl. I'm not seeing her.
Maybe she did. I thought she went over there. I got to make another.
She's probably going to the loo first.
Yeah, well, she make room first and then make a beverage. I can see that.
I see it.
Come. Oh, I guess I should hit this so that people can see us, for God's sakes. There we go.
And then smile.
Hi, smile.
Hi.
Like I said, beginning of hour two, in just a few minutes, Al Perkins is going to give us what he does every week, attitude and a drinking word. Oh, there's Katie. She's making her beverage now.
Atta girl.
There's ice cream in the freezer, by the way. I'm going to go get.
Oh, there's like three containers.
Yeah, we're going to go get ice cream because I need a snack. Just decided that. Whew, coming up, what?
There's been ice cream in the freezer.
No, I know. Well, that one has been here forever.
I know. That was for a long time ago. Yeah. That might need to be thrown.
I scraped off the frostbite and I ate some of it.
Yeah. But that other was.
I am not afraid.
No. But anyway, go on. Yeah. My bad.
So this hour, like I said, what are you laughing at now?
I just scraped out the frost and I ate the rest of it. That is a fat girl sentence if ever I've heard one.
I like your attitude.
Well, I think you were rude.
Right.
I agree.
Coming up later in this hour, Marnie and I have a couple more headlines. Al's got some entertainment news coming up. Katie's got some sports, drinking words, all kinds of excitement. But right now, let's go. Actually, I'm not even sure where this story originates from, but an ex-wife pays her divorce settlements in pennies. A divorce court ordered a woman to pay her now ex-husband
I love it.
$50.12 as part of a divorce settlement. She paid it in full. All pennies. The unidentified woman who left the money in three plastic bins on his front porch also left a letter to her ex, identified only as Andy. Part of the letter he posted online reads as follows, quote, I hope you're having a fabulous life because I know I am. It's 20 times better without you. Thank you. Technically, she didn't pay the full $50.12 in pennies. She actually left a receipt, she left $47.12 in pennies and a receipt for the three plastic bins saying,
That's awesome.
Here's the receipt for the bins in case you really want that other $3.
This is my kind of lady.
I like her.
All right. This is well just played. Fucking crack, and I'm glad you scraped the frost off and ate it.
By the way, no, not that. Not the that vanilla.
One. There's an old vanilla in it.
This one has a little frostbite, too.
No, these are the ones that, I don't remember.
Just
what
last couple weeks ago
reason.
You brought them. Well, one of them Katie opened before the show that hadn't been opened yet.
Oh,
one.
It was right after Dancing with the Bars because I couldn't find Haagen-Dazs. Yeah. Or Haagen-Dazs, which, so I got the Dove.
Which, by the way.
Haagen-Dazs. That's Haagen-Dazs. If you're stoned and eating ice cream.
Yeah.
By the way.
From the Dutch. Speaking of being stoned.
Speaking of Dancing with the Bars, you'll notice Katie still had those trophies right there. Right there next to her.
What do you mean still? It's only been 3 weeks. Right. It's going to be a year.
No, I know. For the whole year, that fucking thing's going to be right here.
Oh, yeah.
Just in case you think she forgot.
I'm seeing it at Christmas. Like, you know, we have to deck it up.
Lights, maybe.
I'm not sure I'm giving this up.
Okay, well, I wouldn't. I'm going to go get the other.
I passed it to her 3 times and she turned it down.
I'm going to go get I'm going to get ice cream and another drink. By the way, Katie is going. She's ramping down on public appearances, but keeping the trophy nearby.
Of course.
Atta girl.
Just so well, you know. And so we need to make it for Labor Day. We have to. Yeah, trust me, I have everything it. For yes. all.
She makes like got skirts it. For each
Halloween.
Season. Well, they used to do that
I'm
to the
I'm not sure how many of God's chocolate creatures had to die.
Oh, isn't that delightful?
Dove unconditional chocolate.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you right good. Now, no doves.
No. I am willing to bet I might be nicer to some of you later.
Yeah. Well, good.
Marnie,
keep eating.
Well, you go ahead and read your headline. I'm going to go get a drink and that vanilla.
I will. I do have a story about quarters just to follow along with that.
Really?
I do. Yeah.
Well,
Larry Cullum paid Rhonda Kelly for sex with a roll of quarters.
That a girl.
Now, I don't know if this is the same guy. I didn't hear as far as the name. But it could be. It could be because he's classy like that. This was Greenwood, South Carolina. This man was arrested for buying a roll in the hay with a roll of quarters.
Oh, okay.
Seriously? Mm-hmm. What kind of fucking whore are you? That you're like...
A dirty one.
The well, one who does
time
not
out.
Have her own washer and dryer.
Time out, actually. Let me rethink that. I would, I see a penny on the ground, and I will cut a bitch to
You'll
get to
right
it.
You'll bend right over.
I will exactly. Thing. I will cut a bitch to get to it. So maybe Rhonda Kelly and I have something coming. I don't know.
I'm okay with that. Not eating that one again.
Larry Cullum, 63, was arrested Wednesday evening after police pulled him over because he was driving very slowly down the street. Now this could be in Minnesota as well.
Yeah.
Right. We don't know.
They might be.
He may be. He's 63.
Buddies, same guy.
Same guy. Family member. So the cops noticed this Rhonda Kelly because she's a known prostitute.
Yeah, go
a
Rhonda.
Well-known prostitute.
She's doing her job right, people.
Now, I don't
Ladies
know,
and gentlemen,
that, I would
if
like
you're
to,
a known prostitute, okay. then you are doing your job correctly.
I would like to add an aside to this little story here.
She's known for taking
have
her
you ever Have you ever seen Cops? Have you ever watched Cops?
Indeed, I have.
Seriously, mm-hmm. I can so see that. Mm-hmm. Have you ever watched that?
Yeah. Nope. I can see that.
Katie was on it once in Nantucket. Yeah. Nantucket.
I probably should have been. Right. I can actually, no, I definitely had By a few way, episodes that
this
would have
is,
been
This is not me being rude. I'm certain that I have been on it without knowing because I lose track sometimes. So anyway, there was
I got the premise, though. They chased black people around.
There was an episode. Nope. I have some white people that are really classy.
I saw that episode.
So this chick calls the cops. This white bitch calls the cops. And it might have been this Rhonda Kelly because she was a crackhead. And someone was supposed to pay her $20. And... To have sex or something like this.
Sure.
Nope. Actually, $20 for crack.
Rolling
she,
is 10.
She, that's right. That's right. Well, two of them. So she went to this house and she called the police because she gave $20 to this woman who did not give her her crack. And
or
so
give
she
up
called,
her crack.
Right? Well.
Oh. Thank you.
So she.
Two stories,
she,
one pun.
She calls the police. The police come out, and they have this all videotaped because it's on Cops.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
Of course it is.
And she
Excuse
says...
Excuse my beauty. Same show.
That's right. She says, that woman stole my $20. I want my $20 back. And so the cops are like, oh, ma'am, why did she steal your $20? Well, because I was buying crack cocaine, and she stole my $20. So they go to the house... And this woman
I like the
comes
dialect
out,
you give the, people.
I'm telling you, that's how she spoke. Look okay. it up. Right. So then this black woman comes out with her son and says, her like teenage son is standing there. And the police say, ma'am, did you steal this woman's $20? And she says, I did not. I do not sell crack. I am not a drug dealer. I'm a well-known prostitute. And the cops are like,
Oh, oh my God.
And she's like, she stole my $20. And they went back and forth, back and forth. So yeah. Anyway.
Like you do.
Me, well, of course you do. I want that fucking $20.
You're looking for your value.
Thank you. I mean, you give someone something, you want something in return. Much like Rhonda Kelly with this Larry column. So, I'm a well-known prostitute.
I'm not a drug dealer.
Well, and now this Rhonda.
Well, congratulations, my dear.
And by the way,
again,
you're
doing your job correctly. Congratulations.
My teenage son was standing right there. I ain't no drug dealer. I'm a well-known prostitute.
Hopefully he's spreading the word to his friends because 15-year-olds got some money.
She's spreading something.
Well, I'm a bastard son.
Well, we don't know my daddy. And so anyway.
But we hope to meet him someday.
I think it's fantastic, though, that this guy, because apparently his wife, which is the sad part of the story, was in a nursing home for the last, 13 years. And I guess that was expensive. And so only had the roll of quarters. And and at that point, that's where Larry met Kelly. And it really sounds like a bad TV reality
Sounds like
show.
A bad spinoff of When Harry Met Sally is what that sounds like. And I will not have what she's having.
Yeah. No, good call. Well,
not without the cream or anything.
By the way, Katie, you cannot shove a roll of quarters up your dick. I'm just going to let you know that right now.
Good to know.
From a preceding story.
I met a lot of men that were packing a roll of dimes that were coming at me.
Sadly.
Yeah.
That's
Isn't that
sad,
cute?
I'm sorry. We don't take change here. Is what this well-known prostitute said.
Caller.
Oh, exactly.
I've pulled up the clip and I cannot wait to watch this later.
Okay. It cracks me up. It's hysterical. I love it. Please.
Well, we're gonna go to a bankrupt city in the northern part of America. Let's go to Detroit, Michigan. And some of you may have heard the story. I just saw it and thought it was worth going over. Not feeling up, but just going over. A female Detroit police officer's bra cup size is hidden beneath department-issued body armor, but not on an email attachment to the entire precinct. The height and weight of about 20 officers awaiting bulletproof vests and their bra cup sizes inadvertently were sent out in a notice when the equipment was ready for pickup. The emails were also sent to their commanders, supervisors, and about 30 male officers also awaiting their personal Kevlar vests. Assistant Chief James White said on Tuesday. White said he directed a commander several weeks ago to make the notifications that the vests were in as soon as they got there. Female officers had to submit their bra cup sizes before the items were ordered due to the design of the vests and to make sure they fit properly and protected them. There was urgency attached to notify the officers that the vests arrived, and the vest officers had prior to that had actually expired. I didn't know a bulletproof vest had an expiration date. I didn't realize that there was.
I did not know that.
New to me. I'm a well-known prostitute.
The incident is under investigation, but the commander obviously missed what was on the spreadsheets attached to the emails when he sent it out. This was not a malicious type of situation. This is an isolated incident, he added. He knew the Excel file was there, but did not look at each page. White described the commander as a dedicated 20-year police veteran, and a grievance has now been filed with the police union by at least one of the female officers, probably because she didn't want, itty bitty titty committee to come. You know, I don't know. Just a guess.
Just a curiosity on that. And Al, being a woman, I'm going to pass this to you. No, I mean Katie.
I like that you found a vagina on your second try.
Appreciate it.
Good lesbian.
I'm so impressed by him sometimes.
Sometimes.
Sometimes I really am. Now, not now, but I'm saying sometimes.
Right.
Would that bother you?
No.
Give me a little husband on that thing.
Yeah, no, okay. It wouldn't bother me.
Fuck cares, and why?
I mean,
are you
look,
raising
you
stink?
Know what size my boobs are by looking at me.
Big.
Like, I mean, if somebody put them on the size A,
right?
That's a goddamn lie.
Or a D, like it doesn't matter. Right. Like my boobs are what size they are. You can all. Right.
Everyone knows. What are yours?
Now, on the other hand, no.
Get a good solid like C minus.
Certainly not, Al.
I know some girls with inverted double. That, you know,
doesn't leave the house without full support.
Yeah,
but I mean, like so.
There's an underwire. Women, in
who really cares? We're all big kids. Like if. It was if I was a junior higher and it got out that I hit my bra size, I would be horrified. But as an adult, like who,
now, if
nobody
you
really
have
cares.
Someone walking directly
after the first
up to
time
you.
Someone's seen your bubbies,
yeah, right. Then who
we're
cares?
All good.
Now, if you have someone directly walking up to you, sexually harassing you over and over, and it's uncomfortable and it's not okay, I get that.
Wasn't your
sexual harassment?
Was your nickname in high school Knockers, Marnie? I'm not sure.
God, Marnie.
Well,
Knockers,
let me just tell you,
I wish your last name would have been
my name was either because my parents were in love with Tippi Hedren.
Oh, I remember the story.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
They were either going to name me Marnie or Tippy.
Thank God.
Thank God.
I mean, really.
Really?
Because these are reduced.
I kind of wish it would have been Tippy.
Are those reduced? Yeah. These are smaller.
Smart.
Yeah.
So, you had a reduction?
Yes.
You have got some Tippy numbers.
Were you in your teens or 20s?
Early 20s.
Early 20s.
Early 20s. But yeah, I mean, can you imagine? Hi, Tippy.
You're like a Weeble.
No, but you would have fallen down. God. I just want to tell you where the Weeble story is.
No, by the way, I cannot imagine. My grandma.
So what did you
work
at me? Did you have sports bras?
Oh, I had like Laura Ingalls.
Two or three of them.
I can't take, but,
really?
But I played three sports, whatever my grandmother would.
Well, you brought the balls.
Kick that?
Wow.
Exactly. My grandmother
racist.
Would be like,
exactly.
Intentionally.
Catch the smaller ball. But
intentionally sexist.
It's softball, not basketball. Fuck up.
Christ almighty, come hit me with bats. I had to leave.
You had a reduction because you got some big boobies.
They're not tiny.
I'm calling like I see them. It's not like I'm looking, baby. I just, you know.
But the whole idea is that, who really? My grandma used to be like, how do you not get black eyes while you play that part?
Thanks, Grandma. She asked
always,
that?
How do you not get black eyes?
I'm not running that hard, Grandma.
I'm a well-known prostitute. I don't have to try that hard.
I want my $20 back. But let's flip this. And guys, let's say that they had Kevlar jock straps. Little fucking, your little pocket protectors down there for your hoo-ha. No,
pocket protectors.
Your twigs and berries.
Twig and berries.
There's that.
Like, Franks
so
and beans.
If all of a sudden Katie and I are in charge, right? Of course we are.
Oh.
Of course we are.
Uh-huh. I don't like the story already.
This police force is doomed.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously.
There's a little less ice cream in the world now.
I got
but
this.
Let's say that's the case. And it's all about the size of that.
You're joking.
Protector.
Oh, right. Yeah. All of the right. Small protectors are in. Yeah. Please pick up your small protector.
Please pick up your. Are you going to be upset? Is that sexual harassment? Are you going to be upset? Because everyone knows you have a little woo.
I don't know. I'm not a guy.
But you know what, though? There are guys that have no idea they have a small woohoo.
But okay. I'm saying,
yeah, I met them.
You slept with them because you're
proud.
A well-known prostitute.
Yeah, they have that roll of dimes like it is something to behold.
You
and
are
I'm like,
a well-known prostitute. But
look what daddy brought you.
Where?
What do I do with it?
But I'm not a man, right? And again, I don't claim to have a penis on TV. But I can say that, like, when you look at Marnie or I or any woman, you can be pretty, you're pretty, I mean, breasts are just out there. Sure. You kind of know what size a woman's breasts are, whether you want to or not. But you can't tell that from looking at a
and
man.
And most gay guys are kind of obsessed with titties. I just want to tell you that.
Yeah. Well, Yeah. Ted Kirby,
yes.
He wants to motorboat her every time he sees her. What the fuck?
My whole first experience with gay boys when I had all my brand new gay boyfriends, like early Hamburger Mary's days, there was a lot of like changing in front of each other, mostly me in front of them. And they were like, oh my God, boobs. I mean, it was a thing.
Yeah.
It was a real thing.
Yeah.
But I'm saying we can't see the package,
right? And lesbians don't walk up to you guys and go like, oh.
Unless you're John Hamm.
And if we do, it's not okay. And we're not lesbians.
Yeah, everybody knows what John Hamm is packing.
Well, everybody.
Because that thing's flapping down Fifth Avenue.
It might be different. Because you can't see what the guys
For
are looking
some people,
like.
You can.
So maybe they're men would feel more insecure by having their jock size announced.
And there's
versus
vicious,
women.
Vicious gossip about everybody's when there's, everybody's packing.
Well, and there's also the grower, not a shower.
That guy's right.
Yeah.
So,
I've seen both.
I mean, you might be a tripod.
That's mostly bullshit for guys with little dicks. Just want to throw it out there.
I don't know.
Usually the roll of dimes sells you that story right before you like exchange cash.
Oh my God. What?
I'm a well-known prostitute.
You're just a well-known prostitute.
Oh my God.
Anyway, but would you consider that harassment? Yes or no?
If all of a sudden your jock size is put out there?
Would that be considered sexual? Because
is there even a size, though?
That's what they're
doing. Is there even a size? Is it like
small, medium,
Clayton,
and large?
Come and pick up your extra, extra large.
You get to stay on the show.
I'm going to tell y'all a little inappropriate story.
Well, Katie's already done a lot of them over the year.
So,
oh my God.
Did this happen in Nantucket?
No. Okay. Here in the
Nantucket.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Actually, it might have been. No, it was Phoenix. I was living down in the real Ahwatukee. It's Phoenix, but Ahwatukee-ish. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I had a boyfriend who was seriously like laying one of those down. Wow. Like, and you had to be a well-known prostitute to take that thing up because it was huge.
I'm going to work out.
This is not for rank amateurs, ladies and gentlemen. So we had some condom problems. They kept exploding.
Stop it.
Or they would just pop.
Yeah.
Because
we went to Phoenix Tent Awning. Nothing fit.
Exactly. We were just this close of getting a moo-moo for that thing. And so a friend of mine calls from New York, and she's like, listen, and it really was a woman who, I guess, had an experience with someone of
another well-known prostitute.
Another well-known prostitute. And she said to me, listen, well-known prostitute, which is now our drinking word.
Junior. I was hoping.
I know, me too.
Listen, my little protege. My mentee.
Junior.
They make Trojan extra large. And what were they called?
Magnums.
Uh-huh. Trojan magnums. She's like, and you got to try it because I had told her about it. The fucker keeps it, like, it just pops. Like, you can't get it
just
on.
Like breaks.
It's like the worst part of a child's birthday party when the balloon animal pops. So I decided to go to the grocery store. And, of course, I do my grocery shopping in the middle of the night because I don't like people.
Of course.
Right. Prostitutes also work at night.
Well-known prostitute buys chicken and Magnum condoms. So I go through the line and I put down my, you know, chicken and Magnum condoms. Not in that order.
Don't confuse the two. Do not confuse the two.
Now, that's when you're a lesser-known prostitute. But you make that fucking mistake.
Yeah, you would.
And I get this look. Oh, yep.
I'm scared.
And it's a gold medal, too. Yeah. That's the best part. Is they come in gold like, I'm winning.
You're a trophy boy if you get that one.
There you have it.
So I put it on the conveyor belt, as the box of Magnum condoms rolls towards her, you know, these are the 80s.
Yeah.
She's like looking at them, looking at me, looking at the little girl hands, and she's like,
"Really?
Listen, Asian hands." I'm like, "No, no, no, no!
They are not for me. I'm a grower. I'm a grower, not a shower.
The chicken's for me, not the condoms.
Like, exactly. The dinner's mine.
The chicken.
The condoms are for my boyfriend. I'm lucky.
Will this be on your shopper's card?
It was hysterical. But the look on her face as those condoms slowly made their way down the late night aisle. And I'm like, listen, bitch, I'm lucky.
Oh my God, that's fantastic.
I bought him a car.
Oh. You ought to see the things I do to this chicken and make him use those. Oh my God.
That's good stuff.
Okay. Wow. Well, though I think we've already decided on the drinking word for legal reasons, we must play this.
And now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom. And that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Well, our drinking word is, I love that, good luck was in such bold red. It reminded me of before I was a professional prostitute. And I used to bleed from down there.
You don't have to leave the red line on. Listen, Roxanne.
Exactly. I'm going to call you Roxanne.
I just put the dirty sock on the door.
How do you know which one's the dirty one?
Well, stiffer.
Oh, wow.
I don't know.
That was about to be good music for a drinking one.
Yeah. For a professional prostitute.
Oddly, the name of that song that I almost played was called River.
Oh, God. Jesus.
Oh, there is so much good to hang on just to go.
Katie got my message. I'm like, bitch, you finished that fucking ice cream kiss.
And I did.
Yeah. Well done.
Because she was about to hand it back to me. I'm like, no, that thing was full when it started.
Yes.
I got the first scrape across.
It's good stuff.
As a professional prostitute, you might know what I mean by that.
Getting the first scrape across?
It's a very exciting day.
I'm sure it is.
At newbie camp.
Oh, it's 8:23. We have a drinking word of... Well,
what
that
if there was a camp?
Did you say the phrase?
Yeah, professional prostitute. I'm a
well-known.
Well-known
prostitute.
I've already lost it.
And speaking of well-known prostitutes, here comes Al with the entertainment.
Entertainment!
Tyler's Choice of Kings of Summer has a release date for DVD. Butler pulls off number one at the box office. Oprah has a movie role of a lifetime. Frank Darabont, we'll explain who is later, has a new series. Elmore Leonard is dead. Three big bombs this week is in the movie world. True Blood has its season finale. NSYNC maybe reuniting for the VMAs. I got caught up on Orange is the New Black.
With Justin.
And Dick Van Dyke is still cheating death.
I was like, damn it, did I put him on the list? No.
We're gonna start with this. I've been giggling as I've been reading this. We're going to just do a description. Name Dick Van Dyke. Age 87. Appearance 50% teeth, 50% twinkle. Is he still alive? Well, yes, he is. But you get the feeling the universe isn't particularly jazzed about this. He just got rescued from a burning car. It burst into flames as he was driving along the Ventura Freeway in Los Angeles, and he was rescued by a group of off-duty nurses who apparently found him slumped over the steering wheel. Is he okay? Yeah, he seems fine.
Chitty, chitty, bang, bang.
Soon afterwards, he...
You're welcome. Fuck you. Disney.
Well,
goddamn thing floats.
I love it.
Well-known prostitute.
Well, yeah, exactly. He is a well-known prostitute. He seems fine. Soon afterwards, he tweeted a photo of the melted wreckage along with the caption, "Use Jag for sale real cheap."
I mean, God bless him.
I mean, thank God. Well done, an accident like that would have done most people in. Yes, but this is Dick Van Dyke we're talking about. He cheats death on a daily basis. This has happened before. You don't remember the porpoise incident?
What?
I don't know. The porpoise incident in 2010, in case you were wondering, are you busy being a professional prostitute? Dick Van Dyke fell asleep on his surfboard, which made him, do some math, 84 years old.
Is he narcoleptic?
On a surfboard?
I don't know.
It's weird that his car would have caught on. Well, because when I heard the story, it was that his car caught on fire and someone had to come and rescue him. And he said, but why? While he's in the car, they're like, get out. And he's like, but why?
Yeah. I'm in Southern California. It's warm.
Yeah. It's just a flash.
So he fell asleep on his
surfboard and woke up surrounded by a swirl of circling fins. Was it Shark Week? Oh, no. But he did feel the chill of his own mortality sweeping through him. And he said, they turned out to be porpoises and they pushed me all the way to shore. Come on. That is a Disney movie.
No shit. Free Willy.
He is unkillable.
He's a well-known prostitute.
Unkillable.
How else has he cheated death? He's quite old. Does that count?
87?
Probably not. Didn't think so. He's lovely. Why does the cosmos have it in for him? Perhaps there are just too many Van Dykes in the world now. In fact, Dick has spawned a huge acting dynasty. His children, Barry Van Dyke, Carrie Van Dyke, Stacey Van Dyke, and Christian Van Dyke are all in show business, as are his grandchildren, Shane Van Dyke, Taryn Van Dyke, Karen Van Dyke, and Wes Van Dyke. The names all sound so similar.
His brother is Jerry Van Dyke.
That was a fake story.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, wait,
Jerry Van Dyke is...
His brother.
He was on Coach.
Isn't he Coach? Yeah.
Very funny.
And how many of them have appeared in Diagnosis Murder?
Pretty much all of them.
All of them.
Oh. So did Scott Baio, though, so that's fine.
Yeah, so dead. No, he's alive. I'm sorry. I read the wrong ending.
But wait, going back to death, one of Dick Van Dyke's sons kill himself?
Probably. Let's just play the odds.
Well, are you thinking Dick Van Dyke or Carol O'Connor?
No, I know Carol O'Connor's did, but I thought there was...
And Mary Tyler Moore's.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, very sad.
Oh, what, really?
They all killed themselves?
Yeah,
all the kids?
Very sad.
Okay.
Not all the kids. If she had one son.
Well, I mean, all of these people's kids.
Yeah.
Google that.
Interesting.
I will. But tell me what, that's a funny, that article is written well.
Oh, I know. Where is that from? It's from The Guardian.
Always
funny.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I knew if I just handed you a blank copy, you'd be able to pull that off. So good for you, Al, you well-known prostitute.
I know how to read.
well-read and well-known prostitute.
Yeah, educated whore.
Entertainment-wise, in Ordinary People, wasn't that the deal that one of the sons
died? Yeah.
But it was like a boating accident, something, right? And it was the favored child.
Yes. Oh, by far her favorite.
Right. Timothy Hutton was in it, right?
Yeah, he's the one that she didn't like at all.
Right.
And was it because Donald Sutherland?
Donald Sutherland is her, is the father.
Mm-hmm. Who was the son?
Judd Hirsch is the psychiatrist, mm-hmm. and the son was not the one that died. Doesn't have a big part. He just kind of hangs onto a boat and screams a lot
and then dies.
Yeah, eventually. Right. Yeah.
Now, was that before or after her son committed suicide?
I want to say it was around the same time, sadly.
Horrible.
I think it was...
Who is this that you're talking about?
Mary Tyler Moore.
Oh, Ordinary People was like one of the...
Yeah, one of the greatest movies ever made. Just a brilliant movie. And Doug Wilkie and I love where she shoves the French toast down the screen, down the thing.
Yep.
And it's the best year for the Oscars. That is the best actress, best actress race of all time.
Okay. I can't believe that year. Mary Tyler Moore's son killed himself while fiddling around with a sawed-off shotgun, the article says.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was purely
by accident.
Oh, and her sister committed suicide by a drug overdose.
Same year?
That's a tough year. No.
I want to say really early, like when she was young.
Well, her sister was 21.
Yeah, I want to say,
but there's no dates on this. It's an article.
I can't remember when the son did, but it was very sad, and she was.
I was just curious because I know how Ordinary People was really quite intense,
and I think it was right after the movie, and that's what kind of slow. But she's in The Elephant Man too, so she had a couple. Good years there.
Sure,
if for some reason God has not smiled on you and you're not a professional prostitute and you've not seen Ordinary People, stop what you're doing. One of the greatest movies ever made.
It really is. Yeah.
So Tyler's recommendation is The Kings of Summer, and it comes out on DVD next month. So I'm really looking forward to it. I tried to see it; it never opened here in Phoenix, but he got a chance to see it and he loved it. What I did see though was The Butler pulled off number one at the box office.
Isn't that Lee Daniels, The Butler?
Oh, motherfuckers. And now someone sent me a message and explained it to me that
The Butler was owned
by Warner Brothers. Yep. Yep. So they had to, their compromise was not change the title to White House Butler.
Right.
Or I Work at the White House, but we have to call it Lee Daniels, The Butler. And that is the official title.
Yeah, it is.
So when Oprah wins her Oscar, it's going to be an Oprah Winfrey in Lee Daniels, The Butler. Right. Because the last time this, and I like him. I like him. That's a nice way to say it. He did The Paperboy, which I talked about
earlier.
That's
right. Yeah. I remember that.
That was very interesting. And he did Precious, but the real name of Precious is Precious, based on the novel Push by Sapphire.
That's right.
So every time at the Academy Awards they brought that up, they had to say the full title, and it just annoyed the fuck out of me.
That was fantastic when Molly put that on your
Facebook. Oh, yeah, because she knew exactly where I was going.
Oh,
so I refused to call it Lee Daniels, The Butler.
Yep. that was very funny.
It's a solid B movie.
Oh, okay.
Like score wise, not like a B love, not like a B horror movie like Joan Crawford starred in the end of her career. It's a crowd pleaser for sure. Mm-hmm. It's definitely one that you don't have to think your way through.
It's a love story.
They lead you hook, line, and sink. If you like Steven Spielberg, this is your movie. There is nothing that's not foreshadowed with a giant black crayon that says "cry here,
intentional racism."
Here.
Yeah. My parents saw it on their anniversary, and they were like, "Maybe this wasn't the most romantic movie we could have seen."
Okay, that's what they kept pushing on The View. Was it a love story? Love story.
It's a very effective.
My mom said it was sad. She was sad.
It is. It's very sad. Okay. It's a lot of different things set to racism in America, and I always like to remind.
Bye, Donnie.
Oh, bye, Donnie.
Intentionally
have
racist.
Have a great night.
I always like to point out to people, because there's always those ignorant fucks that you run into that were like, why are they complaining about slavery ended in the 1800s? Okay. No, the Freedom Riders were in my lifetime.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's within while I was alive, the Freedom Riders.
And so the Freedom Writers
is something completely different.
In my lifetime. Yeah. Also a good story.
Yeah, good story. Mm-hmm. But the Freedom Riders is American history and a tortured time of American history. And so there is a lot of...
Yeah, there's a lot of racism happening. Right now.
Yeah. Since they just...
Hey, how about in Ahwatukee when the president came here? Yeah. Lots of racism happening. Like,
really?
And the fact that the Voters' Right Bill, which is what this movie is about, was just ruled unconstitutional.
I can't even talk about it.
In the year of our Lord, 2013.
Thanks, AZ. Yeah.
But very good. But the amazing part of this movie, and I stayed for all the credits to see where Oprah fit in. Okay. Like, how did she get into the role of a lifetime? Because really, the movie is... it's good. It's like The Help good. Like, if you like The Help, this is your movie.
And I did.
Yeah.
I loved The Help.
You see everything coming. There's no surprises. Yep. You know it's in the pie about an hour before it comes in the pie. Like,
but it's fantastic. But it's
great to see anyway.
Yeah. Exactly. It really is. Yep. Like, those kind of movies, sometimes you like to be led by the nose to the next scene. And I'm
good with that.
I'm okay with that. Exactly. Yeah. Steven Spielberg's a big director. He makes a lot of money because he makes those kind of movies. Yeah. So it's that movie. So I'm a little disappointed that it wasn't more interesting.
Did
but
Steven Spielberg do this movie?
No, but no.
I didn't think
it's
so.
Similar.
But The Color Purple is the last time someone beat me over the head and told me, like, I'm going to put a crying
race.
Oddly, Oprah was in it.
Yeah, but I'm going to put a crying child right here to make sure that you know this scene is sad.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to put a puppy in this scene to make sure, you know what I mean? That kind of directing.
You know, Michael Vick did not have anything
to do with that kind of directing makes me nuts. Right.
Yeah.
So, and it's a shame because he did push based on the novel Sapphire by Precious somebody, or somebody. Yeah. He's done a couple movies that are interesting, and this is really his attempt, I think, to go mainstream. So I'm a little disappointed.
But did you hear why his explanation?
I mean, I never want to hear that. Stay true to your art. But I want to get to the good part because I'm being kind of negative.
Okay.
Is that Oprah Winfrey, and you know I can't stand Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah,
she
I know. I was surprised when I saw that.
Oh my God, this woman can
I do too.
Act. Like, this is...
Well, she's acted like Oprah forever.
Oh, I know, but this is not... she is not Oprah. Yeah. She puts away all the Oprah-isms.
God, I love her.
There's a couple problems with some, you know, some anachronisms here and there, but, oh my God, she just out of the park.
But
and
did
by
you
the end of it, you're like, there was a
she was amazing?
Everybody in The Color Purple, is the only person that's bad in The Color Purple is Steven Spielberg. The only thing wrong with that movie is the horrible directing. Absolutely horrible directing.
Someday I'll see that movie.
Every person in it gives a great performance. Yeah. They just have a shitty director at the helm that, I mean, he's such a good director, but he just wants to be liked. I just feel like Steven Spielberg stands in front of the screen going,
"Love me!
Like me!" And that's what I felt like this movie was.
He's Cher winning.
Here's what was really neat. Oprah was,
But so she has no production credits. She's not an executive producer. She's not a producer. She's no money backing. Nope. She's not an executive.
They just cast her.
She just read this script and thought, oh, bitch, this is mine.
That. Yeah.
It is one of the best written parts for a woman I have seen. She gets every possible color. I talked about 42 earlier in the year where they had to make him perfect.
Yeah.
There was no shades to the character in 42. He had to be almost a saint.
Okay.
This character, and the butler has his dark side. The son is a great performance. Great performance.
I can't wait.
The son is amazing. But Oprah plays every single shade of this character. I mean, this is one of the best written women's parts I have seen in ages.
Wow,
and she knocks it out of the park.
And you see every part.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, the audience applauded at two of her scenes, and I was like, I'm with you.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean,
you don't see that anymore.
So
you don't
let me tell you what
anymore.
I think is really, really neat about Oprah is that, right, so she was such a media mogul, and she still is, but having her own show for a long time, I don't think she ever really went on any other talk shows. I don't know if she did.
Oh, right, and she's a complete whore for this movie, for good reason.
Yeah, she is.
She wants that Oscar, I'm all for it. Yeah.
But she was just on Andy Cohen's late night Bravo
and I didn't
show.
Get to see it.
Oh,
I heard it became very uncomfortable.
Well, there was one part that did, but Kelly was like recorded it because she watches it anyway, and probably Erin loves it as well. And she's like, "Oh my God, you have to watch this." I never watch it, and she goes, "You have to watch this
me hysterical.
Because Oprah's on." Yeah. And the cool thing, and I was like, "What the fuck? Oprah's doing random Bravo Andy Cohen late night?" But then I had to retrace and go, "Andy Cohen basically owns Bravo, so it's not like he's some schmuckatelli TV host. Like he's like the owns the station."
And not only that, but they're
Jeff met her once. Very gracious person, he says.
Oh, I don't think.
But I love hearing that because we got to see her for her last
the Oscars.
Oscar broadcast from the Kodak Theater. Mom and I did. And
you were there?
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. We got tickets last minute because we were so close because we're in Arizona.
Yeah.
I had put in for tickets and they didn't.
That's awesome, Marty.
So we drove there. It was one of the coolest experiences ever. And I just sat there and I thought,
I don't think she's a bad person.
She's one of the probably top three that I would just love to sit down and have lunch with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, though, the uncomfortable part about the interview was she was like, cool. And they did funny stuff and they did like a hair retrospective of all of her like hairdos over the years. And he had her announce him. He's like, "I've always wanted to be announced in your voice." And she goes, "But I'm on the Andy Cohen show." You know, and it was like, it was really great. But then, so they let listeners call in, and this one listener was so funny, called in and was like hysterically crying. She wasn't necessarily crying, but she was crying very audibly, like, hey, Oprah, I love you so much. I love you. And everyone in my town loves you. And everyone in my whole life and family, we all love you. And she does a couple of things. She goes, my question's for Andy. And it was amazing. And both Andy and I were like, what the fuck?
Funny.
It was so funny. It was a really good interview, and it's short enough that it's not irritating to watch. Yeah. It's short and it's fun enough. What was uncomfortable is apparently one person wrote in and asked if Oprah ever took a dip in the lady pond. Yeah. And so he asked Oprah, have you ever taken a dip in the lady pond? And then he followed it up with, well, we always ask that. It's a standard question here at the, at the After Dark.
Yep. And she's thinking it's a Gail.
And they already talked about Gail, and it was all lovely and well. And then she got real uncomfortable.
Okay.
And she was like, totally like her. She had been so cool the whole time. And he said, have you ever taken a dip in the lady pond? And she either really didn't understand or was so caught off guard or didn't. Or acted like she didn't understand, and she goes, I'm sorry. And he said, oh, we always ask everyone, have you ever been with a woman, or have you ever dabbled with a lady or something? And she, like, eyes down, and she goes, no.
Yeah, and it was very curt.
It was really awkward.
But she's answered that question so many times.
Right.
But
that's
she's
why
so
it was weird.
She's so comfortable with homosexuality that why would she ever think it was offensive to say she was? And now that she has, now she has a movie career going, but now that she has no... Because no one can find that fucking TV station.
They talked about it, actually. They talked about OWN. It was a good interview.
Well, the Lohan interview is coming up, too.
It is. Yeah, I can't wait.
Oh, I thought it aired. It hasn't aired
yet? I don't think so. But they talked about the OWN and the challenges. But then he asked her to read one of her lines from the movie where she said, that butler put you through the something.
And that's her Oscar scene.
And that's when Andy goes... Can't wait. Mention me in your acceptance speech or something.
No, that really is. And Doug Wilkie and I have a little game that we play.
I want to watch
miss
it.
Doug Wilkie.
But he's still alive.
I know. I just haven't called or anything, and then his name comes up. I'm like, I miss him.
So we have a thing where we talk about what's the moment in the movie where they won the Oscar? In Funny Girl for Barbara Streisand, it's when she's singing live and a tear comes down her cheek. And there's the scene in Moonstruck where she's like, I'm freezing to death. And you found out that she wasn't acting, that she really was standing outside in Brooklyn in the middle of the night. But, and this one is that scene where that butler put, and she like, she has a good.
Now get out of my house.
White trash. Get that How trashy well did you, bitch out of my house.
Oh, and she said bitch on the show.
I'm always interested in when I see people playing other people. Jane Fonda plays Nancy Reagan.
Oh.
And that's part
in
of the,
that movie?
That's part of the big problem with the movie.
So I want to know how you felt cameos. Those people stacked up because
they're all good.
Robin Williams plays
Eisenhower. Liev Schreiber plays LBJ. The cutie.
The names that were in it.
What's the name of James Marsden?
Marsden.
If JFK
Kennedy?
Was that
was
hot,
it Kennedy? Right.
I'd go back in time and fuck that. Oh my god.
Well.
James Marsden looks so good.
Yeah.
And they skip Ford and Reagan. John Cusack plays Nixon. Right? And that's
isn't that wild? But I thought that was.
And he's the
like,
only one that's not relying on makeup.
Okay.
Like, he's just giving you an actor's portrayal. Actually, I have to give it to Jane Fonda, too. Jane Fonda is the other one that's... And Alan Rickman. Actually, Alan Rickman, Jane Fonda is the Reagans, and...
Holy shit, John, there are some names in this.
They're in for like 5 seconds, so it's very distracting.
But even still.
Yeah, very distracting.
I love Jane Fonda.
I do, too, Alan Rickman...
Does it go through the history of his years at the White House?
Yeah.
Is that how
and
it's
you
like?
Get a little, you get a little touch of each president's view of race. Because and they start with Eisenhower, and I'm not sure this is a true story. They've changed some stuff, so I don't know if he really started with Eisenhower with the Brown versus the Board of Education, and the sending the National Guard in to get the kids into school. You know, that's the start of it, and it goes through all this stuff, and then it's kind of Forrest Gump too. The sun happens to be everywhere, but he's so good that you don't mind this guy that plays the sun is amazing.
And he's. What is his name?
Unpronounceable. British actor.
And very, like...
He's had a couple of really good roles lately, and this really is the payoff for all of it.
He's in something else, though, that was like, whoa, because I knew the name.
Yeah, he was just in,
and
two really big movies.
And you know I don't have cable.
I know, and I can't remember what he was in. I just looked it up yesterday.
Fact checking the butler. Let's see. This is.
But they were all on The View, and that's where I saw them. And it was just like seeing the clips. The very quick clips that kid was in.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And what sells...
I mean, he really was just... He was powerful.
Yeah, and what very sells tough. The movie? Because you're just about to be like, all right, Forrest, you can't be everywhere.
Yeah.
You can't be everywhere. Yeah. The scene with the Oprah and the trashy bitch away from my table, they kind of make fun of the movie at that point.
Okay.
Like, they kind of are like... All right, you're play acting now. Like now you're just wearing costumes.
Okay.
So it's kind of fun that they get in on the joke, but it's very well done, but Oprah.
Really?
Academy Awards time, Oprah.
Now you have the one name that you have not said, and I'm shocked, is Forrest Whitaker.
He gets overshadowed.
By her. In general.
She steals that movie away. And he's excellent.
Because he's an amazing actor.
Again, they never explained the droopy eye.
I just looked up Cast of the Butler, and it's Lee Daniels the Butler on IMDb.
That's
It has to be.
So the son, and I can't remember what he was just in. Oh, he's...
Yeah, I can't remember. I just looked up an article. It looks like there's a couple of really interesting articles about the movie and the cast actor.
One quick second. Jeff, if you ever get on Ellen, you get tickets for the 12 days of giveaways. That is on my bucket list.
Oh my God.
Al had asked about that, and bucket list this and bucket list and I'm telling you right now, it's on my bucket list.
Oh, Ellen is on my bucket list.
But Ellen's 12 days of giveaways on top of all of it is
what's
my bucket
the name
list.
So what's the son's name in the...
We'll have a fabulous time.
In the movie. Earl Gaines?
No.
Cecil Gaines is the dad, right? Because they have him at many different ages on here.
Yeah. Oh, it might be... Or not that it's
Earl. And now the son...
Charlie Gaines?
No, Charlie's the younger one.
No.
Louis Gaines.
So David
Aloeo.
I know, but go to his credits, because he was just in like two really good movies recently.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's familiar. Yellow. He's very familiar. Now, but it looked like, so he
the Paperboy.
Well, yeah, he's in the Paperboy, and then he breaks out because he's playing...
And Lincoln.
He's got the good part in Lincoln. Okay. But in the Paperboy, he has... Well, I can't give it away, but he has a...
Reacher. Also.
Yeah, Jack Reacher. He's got a really funny... There's a really funny part in The Paperboy that kind of gives away a little bit of the plot if I tell you what it is. Okay. But there's a really... He has a really funny... That's how
he also
I knew
has
him.
A pretty white wife.
Like we all do. Well, so there's
so do
a,
I.
So, but
so
now,
do you.
We're going to have a new section called Big, Huge Movies That Flopped. And what we're learning this summer is to
not
make...
That one.
Big, Huge Movies
That Flopped.
We should have an acronym
for that. We need one.
Because there's... They keep making these giant $100 to $200 movies that keep bombing all over the place. After Earth, The Lone Ranger, Elysium. I mean, they're all going to make their money back overseas. Everybody's overseas is the big new market. So this week, Jobs tanked.
Oh, which I want to see. I
can't
really
talk about it.
See it.
Well, I can't talk about it, but
yeah.
I'll be back.
Everyone has said it's terrible.
No, Natalie did and said she hates Steve Jobs now and wants to turn in all of her Apple products.
Oh,
she said he's such an a-hole.
Yeah, I guess. Now, someone said in the book, in his autobiography, we're moving.
You dropped something.
Well, we're moving.
Could someone clean the carpet?
In the autobiography, I guess he comes across as really negative, and in the movie, they paint him. Could you fill this with ice while you're out? I can't leave my own segment.
I'm very important
to this segment.
So. I guess in the book he comes off as a
very
negative.
One very, very important thing. Harrison, yes, it is in LA, and I swear to God, I would do anything. I'm a well-known prostitute.
Yeah, she's at the Paramount. Is she at Paramount Studios?
I don't remember.
I will look that up because I feel like she's in a place that starts with a B.
Burbank.
She's in Burbank, right? But I thought she was at
wherever
Paramount.
Those...
I think she's at the Paramount Studios.
Yeah.
So I mean, and,
sorry about
and
that.
Like, no, no, no. But
thanks,
Harrison. I always say, like, once, and I would go see anything. But I've seen a TV show taped. I saw the Letterman show taped, and it was one of those things where I was like, all right, I've seen that now.
Okay.
What I mean? Like, yep, done that.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
And the Letterman was just too cold. They didn't prepare
me.
Oh my God! You got to bring like a million layers of clothes.
He refers to that a lot during his show. He's like, it's cold. It's cold like
the
Letterman
show. Well, I guess I've heard that, but I guess I didn't realize that.
In other words, that would be
and it was freezing outside. It was like -20. That's why we got in because all the tourists had left New York.
They were like,
it was too
fuck
cold.
That. I gotta go.
So yeah. We were going in to get a little bit of warmth, and they had held us. They were nice enough to put us inside a theater to wait, because usually you wait on the street, but it was too dangerous because, like, trash cans were flying, and it was actually a little bit of a hurricane in the winter. So they moved us inside, but when we walked across the street, we were all freezing. And I mean, it was freezing. So then to go into somewhere and be even colder, I was like, not colder, but you know what I mean? You're sitting there. We never warmed up. We never got comfortable. I'm like, this is a miserable experience.
Okay.
Like, I get it, but just tell me. Because you couldn't take your coats in. You couldn't bring your bags in. Right. There's all kinds of rules.
It sounds like the NFL now.
Right.
Yeah. But I'm just going to point out, too, Harrison, I'll inclement weather. I don't care.
But I would go. I mean, I would certainly go. I just wouldn't go out of my way to go. Like, if somebody said, hey, I've got tickets, I'm in.
If somebody said, can you be here by 5? But I'll find a fucking way to get there.
And it's worthless to go on and on. But the biggest bomb of the year is a movie with Harrison Ford, Gary Oldman, and the hot brother of Captain America, the even hotter brother. His name is like something Evans, Liam Evans. But anyways, Captain America's hot, but it turns out he's got a much hotter brother.
Really?
Oh, okay. Really? He might play Thor, perhaps? I don't know. But it's kind of the end of his career because this
Where's Katie June to look for?
This Paranoia movie was the biggest bomb of the year. It was the lowest grossing, wide opening movie of the year, and actually for quite a while. So they're saying it's kind of the end of his hope to ever have a career outside of his Thor gig.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
That's sad to have one movie.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like...
just, like, be a total bomb.
And I can't remember who it was a couple of weeks ago that I was like, and with that bomb, this guy... Oh, Armie Hammer. His career's over. Like, he sunk, like,
not
two Armin or three...
Not Armie Hammer.
No, very different.
I thought we liked Armie Hammer.
We do. He's very hot, but...
Superman.
But no, he's not Lone Ranger. Lone Ranger.
But the problem is, like, they're trying to put him above the title, and he's going to have to go the character actor thing, which there's not a lot of character work for somebody who's 6'2" and unbelievably gorgeous. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to disappear into a lot of parts.
That's why
for a
well-known prostitute there.
Well-known prostitute.
Katie June, you may have missed this, but that's why I'm not in a lot of feature films.
That's why I'm not too
there. Well, and I knew that.
I'm too tall.
Is that your...
I'm too beautiful.
So is that your rap on your entertainment
center? No, not at all.
Oh, you got more?
We talked about Oprah for the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yes, go. And I love entertainment.
Because I only have one thing to add to it, but I want you to exhaust your stuff.
No, go ahead.
Because mine is minimally interesting to any of you.
Go ahead.
In 1979, I was 9 years old, and there was a wonderful movie that came out that I absolutely loved, and it just has been in my mind. I've got the original soundtrack on vinyl, as does Al have most everything. It was released this week on Blu-ray and DVD, completely redone, the original Muppet movie. Came out, and I haven't bought it yet, but I'm very excited to buy it because I
want to buy it too.
I'm so fascinated by the making of that. Just because.
So you're really hoping for a lot of Easter eggs in there, is what they're called.
Right. So what they've got in there is Jim Frawley's extended camera test in '78 of how they were going to film the scene where Kermit is first shot in the swamp. You know where he first
the
shows up.
The very first shot. Yep.
Right. There's an extended camera scene for that. There's all kinds of different little things, teaser or trailers, and all kinds of other little things that are on the DVD. However, I wanted to give you a list of, because it's crazy to forget how many major stars made cameos in that movie back then. Because as you recall, the story is that the Muppets are trying to get to Hollywood, they're traveling cross country, and they meet all these crazy characters, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. Just a few of the names who make cameos in this movie. Now remember, this is 79, so many of these great people are gone. Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy were in that. Milton Berle, Mel Brooks, James Coburn, Dom DeLuise, Elliot Gould is in it, Bob Hope, Madeline Kahn, Carol Kane, Cloris Leachman, like Steve Martin, Richard Pryor, Telly Savalas, Orson Welles, Paul Williams, and it goes on. It's amazing.
John Denver.
I am very
curious. Paul Williams isn't so much of a cameo as he is the Academy Award nominated songwriter and winner.
That's right. True.
Nominated
that's
for
right.
that movie, but won for Evergreen with Barbara Streisand.
That's right.
But just, I'm fascinated by how they make, I was fascinated by the Muppet show, how they make all of these characters, because obviously they're all filming them with, you know, they're up like this and they're
CGI
on a set.
CGI wasn't invented yet.
No, CGI wasn't invented. And I'm fascinated. There's a movie, and I'm surprised. And if it has been out, you've seen it. I have it because I figured it's going to show up over there at Camelview. There's a movie, a documentary out called I Am Big Bird about Carol. I forget his last name. Carol has been Big Bird since the beginning.
Yeah, I can't think of his last
name.
Oh, my
God. And
it's
same person.
Fascinating to see how they do it because I always wondered how they did that puppet, and then I found the documentary.
No, he literally stands like this, and he's filmed from the armpit up.
Right, yeah. So you'll notice that one of Big Bird's arms never moves. I think only okay. – I think Big Bird's right arm never moves and only the left one because he's got one arm up to do the beak and the other one is just the arm.
Sure.
But anyway, I'm very curious to see how well when they like when we saw when they redid Wizard of Oz, you can see every hair on every person. Yeah. It's insane how they restore
it. You get that charming song. I love that song, The Rainbow Connection.
Well, there's so many cute songs.
Come on.
That song is so good.
Sounds who's going to be upset with a bear and a frog driving a Studebaker across country?
Well, and a frog that loves a pig.
Sure. Well, there's a...
Come on.
So, anyway.
We just saw something. We went to see Planes. We took a moment to see Planes.
I do want to see that. Planes. I want to see that.
On Saturday. Oh, we didn't actually make it. It's a car. It's the cars. Like the
Planes, Trains,
No. It's Disney. Remember Disney did Cars. They did Planes.
Yeah. And well, here's the bummer is that I was like kind of into it actually and was like kind of invested at the story by this point and I wanted to see how it ended. And Kelly leans over and says, I think it's time to go. Palmer had been walking up the stairs and down the stairs and up the stairs and down the stairs and up the stairs and down the stairs. And I'm like, I think she's fine. And she goes, no, she's sliding down the stairs on her stomach and I'm pretty sure she just ate something off the floor.
And you were like, well, I've done that before.
Well, you can take her home. I'll find my way.
I was like, I have to see the ending.
Okay. Oh, were you at Christel?
No, we had a better showing at the cheap movie theater. Well, cheap, but at the regular, we took her to the nice Esplanade.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought it would be nice. She could sit in the chair, and there were too many things to look at.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Too many stairs to climb.
A lot going on.
That's a lot.
The good thing is for those in the Phoenix area, if you haven't been yet, the Esplanade doesn't show a lot of children's movies because they're not child friendly.
No.
But it's nice to have a movie so the adults can go see a movie that they like that.
Kids. They had a preview for The Muppets, and I feel like it was not the re-release of The Muppets. It was The Muppets 2.
The Muppets is the sequel that Jason Segel.
But then there's another new one.
No, but the Muppet. He's talking about the original one, but finally being released.
I know the original one, but then it wasn't being re-released in theaters. But now there's like they were talking about a new one.
There's a sequel to the Muppets that came out like a year or two ago.
I saw it in
11. There was a Muppet called The Muppets.
And there was a preview
because Jason Segel is obsessed with the Muppets,
and he's happy
to take on the tradition.
Was it that he wrote it?
He wrote the music.
He got Disney to bring them back.
And it really, I mean, but seriously, I like the waste of time that this. It was a beautiful waste of time, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh no!
Anytime you have Fozzie Bear and
no, very, Come very right well. Out. That was very well so received. Yeah.
It's insane how they make
Side
it all happen.
Note,
it's crazy.
Yeah. Jason Segel is he's the How I Met Your Mother, which is my new favorite show in syndication.
Oh, very funny.
By the way, so one amazing. Of the guys, Minnesota. We'll tell you a story about the Minnesota Vikings. Yeah. Apparently on it. Tammy Bops told me about that. I still have never seen that, but
it's a very funny show. But it's a good one to watch in sequence because they finally are going to reveal either they did at the end of last season or they will this season. How it, who the mom is.
I already looked it up. Yeah. I got antsy.
One episode in.
A sad note about another person who has taken their life being in Hollywood.
This one's not on mine because I never heard of him.
I never heard either.
And the only reason that I heard of him is because I watch Rizzoli and Isles.
Yeah.
And Mom and I love watching it. Mm. And it's Lee Thompson Young.
Wait, I'm thinking of someone different.
Oh,
another
then I don't know
like celeb who took their life, but go on.
He was famous Jet Jackson. I have no idea.
I don't recognize it either.
What's it was name? From Disney. Lee Thompson Young, and
very
he was 29
cute.
Years old. Really, really good looking with beautiful eyes.
I would say the show was like 10 years ago. The Jet Jackson thing
like
is where
that,
he got
right.
yeah.
Yep.
Oh, longer than that. He said he was 13 in the interview that
oh
I saw.
Oh my god. Yeah, it was quite a while ago. But they said that he was supposed to show up for work. TNT called and said, where is he? And the person went, the landlord went and found him dead. And they don't know
How he killed himself. They haven't said yet, I should
Disney
say.
Disney star. Disney fucks people up.
Apparently. But he did take his own life. And so I thought that was just really sad because, looking at it, and you have, as far as I'm concerned, Cory Monteith took his own life.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You know, with drugs and the idea that Lee
Though it appears to be he accidentally took his life, but still, right. He did.
Absolutely. Was this a drug thing here?
They haven't said. And a promising career. I mean, this Rosalie Niles gets really good
things. I love Rosalie Niles, but the other one is... and I don't know her last name.
Lisa Robin Kelly from The 70s Show.
No. Yeah. Oh. Another one. Yeah.
Drugs.
Who was drugs. Yeah. You know what I thought
about? Well, actually, now they're saying that it's now suspicious because she was in rehab.
She's a known prostitute.
Okay. Well,
allegedly.
She was, apparently, she was in rehab and...
She wasn't well known, just known.
They're saying that the cause is still uncertain and they're going to do an autopsy because they say that there's something not matching up. Something doesn't look right.
That's
with this.
Interesting because the carpet and not to be rude, but like how many times has Lindsay Lohan been in and out of rehab and not really?
Some people just get lucky.
Well,
look at Ray Charles,
Dick Van Dyke.
Heroin addict, live forever.
No, and I'm not saying that. I'm saying like with this, like how interesting that just because she's in rehab, we're taking a look at it.
James Taylor, heroin addict, crazy.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. He was a serious heroin addict.
I knew drugs, but I didn't know.
He loves North Carolina. Real hard on for the state.
He does like that.
The thing that I think is actually really sad about that woman, Lisa, is, when I read about her death, I'm thinking about dying in a rehab. What a sad life.
Where you are supposed to be for help. And then somehow something goes terribly wrong.
Regardless... You died in a you're there for help, but that your life has led you to a point where you die alone in a rehab facility.
Interrupted. Big part of the movie.
That is really sad. But the other one is Gia Alamond, who was a beautiful model. And Aaron would appreciate this.
Yeah, I sent it to her.
She was from The Bachelor. And she was dating.
Right. I have none of these people on my list because I never heard of any of them.
No, I know.
Except for the girl from that 70s show. They wrote her off early.
Gia was gorgeous. Yeah. I'm looking at her picture currently.
She really very pretty. Well, she doesn't currently look like that.
No. Right. A little different shade.
But she
lighter shade of pale.
She was dating like a football player or a basketball star or something. And everything seemed to be going well. Apparently,
somebody used Magnum condoms
probably. And all of the Bachelor girls said that she was a lovely woman, but incredibly insecure beyond belief, and for so beautiful, and she hung herself.
I gotta throw it out there. Don't you have to be really insecure to go on The Bachelor?
Well, to begin with, right.
Yeah.
There's that. That's true.
And I've done one part. I've only...
We're coming back. We're coming. Wow. This whole segment got away from all of us. I didn't. And for some reason, the talk about Oprah, I thought we'd done the whole goddamn list that Al had. I don't know. And you get a story, and you get a story. I don't know how that works out.
Very interactive.
It is the end of hour two. We have one more to go. Bear with us, if you will, please. Katie June, Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins, and me. I'm Clayton McKee. Thank you for joining us. It's Q-Talk America. It's the show. We do it every Tuesday from 7 to 10. We're coming back with more entertainment from Al. We got sports from Katie, a little Death Watch, and maybe some thoughtful vulgarity. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to The Show on Q-Talk America. This is Q-Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee. Yeah.
Good evening once again, 9 o'clock on a Tuesday night. This is The Show with Clayton McKee. That's me. Thank you for being here. I'm here alongside Marnie Ryer, Katie June, and Al Perkins. They round out the cast of the show each and every Tuesday night, 7 to 10, coming to you from a nice little studio in the heart of Central Phoenix, where it's hot as fuck.
No kitchen here.
And I'm tired of the heat. Today, I think I hit it. I think I'm done. Now with this heat, I'm ready for fall.
It's usually about the third week of August.
Let's go. Let's be done. I'm tired of $400 a month fucking power bills and...
Are they for
you? Stretch close.
Them and you stretch them over the year. Get on the yearly plan.
Yeah, the yearly plan is crucial.
I understand that.
But the other day, our air, we had it cranked up, and Kelly looks back and says, "It's fucking hot." And I go, "No shit." Yeah. And she's like, "The air was our air was on, and it was at 82 degrees it's still, at our house."
But yeah, 82. I say it every year.
That's why I bought new windows.
And then I lovingly I forget about all this heat. January, and I'm like, oh my god, if you can survive the summer, it's no big deal.
January is so gorgeous.
Oh, it fucking is. Yeah. I mean, I'll shovel sunshine all day long, but I am not going back home to Missouri with ice and
everybody does. And you can see the mood of the city start to change, because May, oh, it's lovely, it's hot, but it's that nice dry heat, and it's sunny all the time, and you're chipper.
Yay!
And then June, you're like, well, find a friend with a pool. And then you go on vacation in July, and you hit every fucking heat wave in the goddamn East Coast.
And I'm with you, August.
It is August hits, and that humidity is kicking up in your ass.
August is literally the worst month.
You know, I love my bike ride over here.
Like, June, I love.
Love it. I love June.
Still great.
118 degrees dry. September,
I don't care. I'm good.
Yeah, I don't care about the heat in June. But July 4th, I try to get out of town, and this 2 months, as much as I possibly can,
get the
fuck away. But you can see it. Like, when we get on the elevator at work, and I have to ride to the 11th floor with every motherfucker that wants to get up to two, there are stairs for you people. But that elevator is a hot box. And you had a park, and our campus is so, that campus
that
is
restaurant
so
campus.
Fucking huge, yes. And you walk across, and then you finally get in, and you take the back way around, and then you finally get on the hot box that's an elevator, and you can see it on everybody's face. If you hit a button that's not 11, I will murder
you.
Yeah,
I can kill you. You're going to end up on my floor.
And when
I'm going to end up in my restaurant.
The trial's going to be next August, and I'm going to put all 12 members of that jury in that goddamn elevator and tell them they have to go into 12 and have everybody hit a button.
That's right.
Oh,
two,
not
three,
guilty.
Not guilty.
Not guilty.
He hit two.
Release the hound. That bitch was justified. That was a stand your ground kind of shit.
And she was a well-known prostitute. By the way,
then they'll be like, "How'd she die? I slashed her throat with my name badge. It took an hour, but I did it."
A dull,
and we agree you should have
a dull, rusty knife.
When someone stops on 7 to go to 8, I'm like, "You motherfucker." There is a little corner of hell known as South Phoenix waiting for you. Called 9th Street and Roosevelt. We're going to drop you off there without a shade tree to be found.
By the way, if you're just joining us, drinking...
And this is the attitude that everyyone has in August. That was actually kind of friendly for August.
I'm never going to eat at that restaurant. No. Our drinking phrase is well-known prostitute.
Because of the slasher on the elevator? The well-known prostitute slasher.
Okay, right.
On the 9th floor.
Right. There's a hooker. 11. So our drinking phrase is well-known prostitute. We are in the middle of, an extended version of the entertainment section. We're going to turn it back over to Al Perkins, who has a few more stories.
Well, in a not-so-tragic death, because he lived to be the grand old age of 87, one of the best novelists, writers, just so many great credits to his name. He had a stroke a few weeks ago. I was very concerned, but I realized, you're dead. come on. He was 87. Is Elmore Leonard. And you probably don't know him because he didn't get famous till he was 60, which is hope for all of us.
Right. Really,
but he had in the 50s, he had a little bit of a start. 3:10 to Yuma. Can't remember who's in the original.
Which I remember. That was the original said?
Oh, yeah.
The original.
The original is Glenn Ford and
Russell
Ben Helfand.
Crow.
Right. Now,
was in that.
We fast forward. They remade it a couple years ago with Russell Crowe. Mm-hmm. And
who's that freaky diggy Mexican actor?
Benedict Mussolini.
Definitely not
but
that.
I will
it,
go back.
He was also in that other freaky movie.
Like, he always plays.
He always plays that like crazy Mexican guy.
Damn it.
Fuck. Come Bernardo. In. No, that's my long guy.
No. But anyways, so the real, well, I don't know what you're all talking about, but you're talking about Ben Foster, who's really not.
No, that was not at all.
I'm talking about a freaky Mexican Hispanic actor.
Loose Reins?
No. He's in 3:10 to Yuma. Maybe not.
I don't think he is.
Yeah. He's the one that like won an award.
Oh, he was in that one like
Brothers from Another Mother.
No Country for Old Men.
No Country for Old Men.
Oh, my God.
Same thing.
Javier Bardem?
Yes.
Not in this movie.
Oh, shit.
Oh,
okay.
That's who I was thinking of.
Yeah, not
wow,
in, not
did
in this
we
movie.
Really get there to the same place from
I
that?
Really
did.
In a very, very disturbed way.
That was good,
and I liked
Marnie.
That.
Me
it
too.
Was. And I called him Benedicto Mussolini.
Well, you're thinking of Benicio del Toro.
Thank you. That's actually really true.
Also not in this movie.
Either way, that's exactly what I was thinking.
But we'll get first, let's give you a couple credits besides 310 to Yuma, and then I'll give you a movie.
Pulp Fiction.
No, but very close. Again,
Get Shorty.
Yes.
Oh!
Right. You're getting so much closer. Justify the TV series. Oh, he is one of the writers of, and one of the he is the short story that Justify the Shorty. Series is based on. And I want to say maybe it became a comic book. But
maybe
Justified is on my bucket list for when I get the flu. But Out of Sight, which if you've never seen, is fantastic with George Clooney and Jennifer Lopez. Fantastic movie.
Jennifer Lopez?
Before she was really anybody. No one was quite sure what she was trying for then.
Okay, because I wouldn't watch her movies now.
Do we still know what she's trying for?
But remember, she was an actress first that all of a sudden decided to sing because everyone forgot she was a singer-dancer that decided to act. Because the first part of her career went so terribly. But Out of Sight.
What was the name of it? Out of Sight.
Out of Sight. It's fantastic. One of the best screenplays ever written. Google any movie lovers and they'll tell you.
Okay.
Yeah, it's one of the greatest screenplays ever written. Jackie Brown, he wrote that story.
Loved Jackie Brown.
It was really called Rum Punch.
I was really into it.
Get Shorty, which is a great, great book. If you have not read Get Shorty, it's
fantastic. I know that.
Fantastic. But 310 to Yuma. So people will remember that I always push 310 to Yuma because this little boy who started as a child that I would see in different things, and I was always like, oh my God, we got to watch out for that kid. He's really good. He's in The Butterfly Effect where he plays the little Ashton Kutcher, and I'm like, oh my God, that kid is so good. And then I saw him in 310 to Yuma. I'm like, watch that kid. He is so good. And then he was in For the Love of Fuck, why can't I think of it? Wallflower. What was that movie called that I love so much?
Oh, the
Perks of Being a Wallflower. He's the star of it. And my nipples got hard thinking about the movie. The Perks of Being a Wallflower. So if you have not seen Jeffrey Lohan or whatever his name is, because my IMD just went dead, fantastic.
Yep. Internet.
Yeah, just died.
Kick the bucket.
But Elmore Leonard, just a great soul, and he died. And he got famous at 60. He had a little bit of a career in the 50s, and then everyone thought he was an asshole. And then he came back at 60, and he got discovered again because all these people had been reading his novels, and then they all became movie people. So fun times. Well, except for he's dead. That's not so fun.
But a good long life.
And let me think. The rest of my list is quite short after that. True Blood season finale. Do you watch True Blood? I never remember.
I don't.
Okay, so True Blood ended. And, you know, they keep teasing us with Eric's penis for, like, 5 years now. It's all been about, are we going to see Alex Skarsgård's penis? Are we going to see his penis? Are we going to see his penis? So they said, we can't give away anything about the ending, but you finally get to see it. Because, you know, that is just straight porn. True Blood is just porn.
I need to get into it.
And it doesn't matter if you're into men, into women, into
vampires. Is there a fork in it?
Yeah, whatever you're into, this is your porn.
Okay.
There's girl-on-girl action, man-on-man action.
I love it. I love everything about
Joe Mangiello.
I love everything about it.
Oh, my God. Everyone on the show is fucking hot, and they're always naked.
I'm a well-known prostitute, and I really...
And they're famous for cutting off the shot just before the pee-pee. I'm like, come on, you're HBO. Show us a little penis.
Yeah.
But Alex Skarsgård, so goddamn hot. The movie that you just saw. You just saw the movie about the little girl. The little girl in the divorce.
Oh, yeah. He was hot.
He's
hot. What Maisie knew. He's a hottie.
Peter Skarsgård is his father.
But Alex Skarsgård is younger, tall, thin, blonde.
Being the son, he's hot.
Yeah, he's hot.
And he's beautiful. So he's played the beautiful heir in perfect casting. The rest of the casting of True Blood from the books was a little honky, but they saw that guy in something and were like, oh, you look exactly like Eric from the books.
Yeah.
So the nudity was way overrated.
Is that like Jenny from the Block?
There was no pee-pee there.
No penis?
No.
After all
of
that.
It was a literally, I'm not lying to you, it was a helicopter shot of him crouching.
Crouching? What does that mean? Was he pooping?
He was crouching, but there was no penis shot in this. But the end was excellent, and what they're doing...
But it was like a naked body, and he was just...
Crouching down. So
that stinks.
But the ending was excellent. And what they've done, because everyone is stealing, like even Shark Week stole from the guy from Bravo, Andy Cohen. Everybody's stealing now from what works. True Blood has decided they're going to go the way of The Walking Dead. It's now going to be The Walking True Blood.
What does that mean?
They set it up where there's walkers. All of a sudden, there's vampires that are the undead, and now they're walkers. I mean, it's just craziness.
Yes, I literally am like holding my breath for True Blood. I can't, or not True Blood, Walking Dead. Yeah. Cannot wait.
So if season 5 or whatever it was just struck you as, what the fuck is this? They brought it back. True Blood got good again. Just skip whatever the last season was and watch the season that just ended on Sunday. It was very good. Frank Darabont from The Walking Dead Shawshank Redemption and The Green Mile has a new series for TNT called Lost Angels.
It's amazing.
Based on a story called L.A. Noire, and John Bernthal from The Walking Dead, Shane, hottie, great actor. He's the lead, and Jeffrey DeMunn, who was the guy that sat on top of the trailer and watched for walkers.
Oh, yeah, the old guy.
Who's the guard from The Green Mile. Guy. Yeah, he is the old guy.
All right.
He brought them back because he always works. Jeffrey DeMunn is in every movie that he makes.
So cool.
So
a new movie, what did you say?
TNT, it's a new series on TNT, and they're doing it like The Walking Dead. You get 6 episodes. If it's a hit, it stays. If it's not, then it ends when it ends.
It's going to be a hit.
He's really good.
I'm going to be the number one fan. I can already tell you.
He's made 2 movies, both nominated for Best Picture. I mean, this guy...
Can't wait.
Yeah, and they fired him.
Hashtag can't wait.
NSYNC is rumored to be...
A well-known prostitute waiting for that show.
They clarified that it will happen.
What time did they clarify? Because as of like 6:45, it was still a rumor.
Tonight? Yeah. Right? Oh, shit.
Earlier today on CNN.
Nope, still just a rumor. I left at 6:05 and it was still a rumor.
Oh, my God. NSYNC reunion.
Justin Timberlake was going to show up.
Natalie Sanciola is going to crap her pants.
Yeah. Now, another one of those boy bands. I know they sing Bye 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 and Gone, and that's all I know.
So maybe as of two hours, it'll be a hi.
As of
maybe.
2 hours ago, still in the works, not definitely happening.
Yeah.
Oh.
But it's all a buzz, and he needs the publicity because they're releasing. You know how they do that where, like, 2 months later after your album's been released, you get 4 new songs? I don't understand it. Last thing is Orange is the New Black. My binge watching has ended.
What did you think about the last episode?
By the way,
I want you to watch his face. I'm on the 3rd episode right now.
And that's where it gets good.
No, I know. I know you had said that, but I'm just letting you know.
Yeah.
I'm watching it.
Episode 4 is when it turns to crack. And you know what you end up doing? Because I did it. You stay up for 15 goddamn hours watching Orange is the New Black. Yeah. And I fell asleep at one point for 2 hours. And I was like, all right, turn off the TV, go to bed. I'm like, no, I need to know what happens next.
Yeah, no, obsession. And Laura Prepon.
Straight hours.
Laura Prepon, I want to have sex with her in a lot of ways.
By the way, I don't know.
But yeah, no.
Oh, wait. You're only on episode 3.
She gets like.
Everybody gets
she
good.
Not, she's just sex on a platter.
Yeah, she
By
is.
The way, she looks way better with dark hair.
Yeah, she does.
Oh, she does. Yeah. And she is nerdy, hot librarian.
Well, and the glasses.
The glasses, the tattoos, the black hair, the prison.
I'm not all about the tattoos.
Like, I'm going to stalk her in prison.
That is a spank. And I
like, have sex
that
with her.
That is a what?
That is a spank bank kind of. Okay.
It is. Yeah, she is hot. She is hot.
I got a little turned on.
Can I tell you my favorite?
Oh my God! What about that last episode with her and the crazy girl with the
crazy eyes?
And the girl, no, not crazy eyes. No, the girl. And she goes, you know what I want for Christmas?
Okay, by the way,
although
it's
a little gross,
yet.
But
Shut
I definitely
it.
Want that to happen Hi-ya. To me in prison.
There's no giveaways there.
Okay, good, because I'm not listening. But that crazy eyes fucking makes me laugh.
Oh, and it ends, and you don't get because you get a lot of people's backstory in the episode. And Jodie
Foster, which is very cool. With the
Jodie
backstory.
Foster directed the episode about the transgendered person,
which is a
really good episode.
And Jodie That's Foster three. Insisted. That. I did a little reading about it. Jodie Foster insisted that. And I can't think of the actress's name, forgive me, but she's wonderful.
The actress, she's transgender.
Transgender. Yeah. And Jodie Foster was completely against her playing a man.
Yeah.
So it turns out she has a twin brother.
Identical.
Identical twin brother, and the twin brother played her.
That's who did the fireman. Yeah.
That's who did the scenes as a man.
Okay.
But episode 4, that show just takes off.
Really?
Just make sure you have 14 hours.
The last last episode, I was like pooping my pants. I can't wait for it to return.
Oh, I can't either. Just, and I'm like, this is not regular TV. There's no rules. When am I going to do it? Oh my God. I want to know, why is Red in jail?
I'm so loving that.
What's
right
up
now,
with Crazy Eyes?
Right.
What's up with this one? What's up with that one? What did the nun do?
What did the nun do?
Just give me the goddamn
script. What about,
Pukaski,
Pachuk, whatever, the drug addict? What happened?
The drug addict?
Yeah.
Last scene, Christmas show.
Okay, hello. Don't know.
They're outside.
Oh. I didn't care about that. I have so many other questions.
No, that
I couldn't
was...
even get to the cliffhanger. Oh, Pennsylvania.
I bet
they're a well-known prostitute.
Yeah, oh, she is.
Probably. Oh, okay. I will be a well-known prostitute for whoever's writing that fucking show. And again, it was as soon as I realized that it was Jenji Cohen who did Weeds that I'm like, all right, bad things happen to white people. That's what this show is going to be about.
Sure.
Like, but you're going to get every color of the rainbow. She's so good with multicultural casting. And this show is written by women, starring women, produced by women. This is all women.
It's
there is
good.
No man in this show yeah. telling them that women have to be this way. Leah Delaria hits it out of the park. And this one, Leah Delaria is my new Vanessa Williams.
Okay,
she
so
can do anything.
Talk to me who that is. Please.
Leah Delaria, big butch dyke.
Yep.
Oh!
She's with the shaved head and she had the little screwdriver thing?
Yes.
Because that made me want to vomit.
But she
oh,
was
and
musicals,
when she was masturbating.
Made me want to vomit.
She does musicals.
That, time the fuck out.
That bitch can welcome to, sing.
Welcome to my party.
Yeah.
That, no, that's one of her
Welcome
songs.
Welcome to yeah. my party.
I have no idea who this person is.
I know, I don't know who she is.
Famous comedian. She was the first out lesbian comedian to ever
Wait,
be on national
name?
TV. Leah
Delaria.
She was on the Arsenio Hall show, and they said she said dyke like 57 times.
Really?
And she was on Broadway, and they were like, you're a comedian. You can't be a singer. And she was like, I can fucking sing. Fuck you. Push the person out of the way because she's huge. And has a gorgeous singing voice, like really, really.
And she's the real super dykey dyke.
And she, and that's what she said. They're like, they wrote the part, and they're like, who else is going to play this but me? And they're like, really, we kind of wrote it for a Leah Delaria type.
Yeah, okay.
Like they actually told her that.
Oh,
that's
I didn't realize
crazy,
that.
Because she just grossed me out.
This show is.
I kind of was going to hurl.
Crack. Oh,
by the
but
way,
she's so good. By the end,
that doesn't change anything.
And Aaron
I'm
will
still
love it.
Wanted to hurl.
Wait till Aaron finds out what she does later.
No, actually, she looks like
she's watched
so
everything but the last two episodes, Aaron, so that I can catch up.
Oh, she already knows? Okay.
Apparently.
Aaron, if you're listening, the service dog.
Leah Delaria actually looks she looks beautiful. She's great in these photos.
She's got gay friends that do her makeup, but she's so talented. She can really do anything. If you see Leah Delaria's name, ladies and gentlemen, you just show up and take the ride, because this bitch can do
or don't.
Anything.
I mean,
but
that really is all dependent.
Still
not taking a ride on that.
Well,
but,
still, but...
Oh, no,
yeah.
No, but better. Comparatively speaking, she looks like she belongs in prison, so she plays the role well. There, not so much.
Google her interviews. Google her interviews. She is so open
and
honest.
Okay.
Very fun. All right. So we're done with that, and I'm done. But Orange is the New Black. Harrison, you have my Netflix account. If Netflix is listening, she does not have my Netflix account.
Harrison's already gone.
Sorry, Harrison. Bye-bye.
She got tired or bored. I'm not sure which one.
Oh, no.
Just a couple minutes ago. Oh, that's entertainment. You wrapped
that
up?
A really intense entertainment.
She's got
entertainment.
He had a lot.
It wasn't my fault either.
I understand. I know we all kind of factor into that. But go ahead, Katie June.
In sports. Russian women are kissing all over the place. The Russians are still crazy. They don't know if they love or hate the gay laws. Elena Deladon returns to the WWF Big Numbers. Dana Taurasi making history. And a wrestler casually comes out in a TMZ interview.
Oh, I still saw that. Alrighty, Katie.
In sports. So we're going to make it really quick, but everybody knows that we've been talking about all of the Russians and all of their jazz with the Olympics. Mm-hmm. So two female Russian athletes, you know, what's happening right now, they have the World Athletic Championships, and Tatiana Fyodorova and Ksenia Rakhmanovskaya, maybe or maybe not.
I think it's European.
Yes. They captured gold in the 4x400 meter relay. And what's interesting is 4x400 to me means four people. Mm-hmm. They were only two of the four, but they kissed twice.
Bigger?
They won two different times. They won gold medals and they kissed both times on the lips, on the stand. And what everyone is assuming is that it's been a kind of in defiance of the homophobic, really super homophobic laws passed by Russia's government. So, but no one has said that yet. They haven't said that.
Yeah,
they have said
that's not the case.
They've not made a statement, I don't believe.
They did.
Oh, they did. I'm sorry.
And they said that that is not the case, that they just kissed each other. That was all. And I thought,
but here's
well,
the
that's
thing.
Weird.
They just don't want to get busted.
How many other times have you done that?
Right.
So I think that would be the interesting piece, to look at other types of
Right. I mean, they're kissing
medals
on the lips, and uh-huh. whatever the case is, they're making a really good, they're making a good stand against
right.
Russia's
mm-hmm.
bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, Russia's law banning gay propaganda for minors, they say now, won't infringe on the private lives of athletes and spectators at next year's mm-hmm. Winter Olympics. This is according to Russia's sports minister. And he basically said that fans could be, they'll leave it open as to whether Olympic athletes and fans could be subject to prosecution if they make statements that could be propaganda. So they're being very wishy-washy. They're saying, on the one hand, we're not going to charge anyone and we're going to let fans and athletes do what they want. But if we consider it propaganda, mm-hmm. then we could arrest you. So that's,
we find you in a dark alley, it's over.
Mm-hmm. Essentially, it's very, very scary because we know that, again, the propaganda is very vague.
Vague.
Mm-hmm. Sweden has gotten in on the drama. Paint your nails rainbow colors and you face disqualification, according to this Swedish Olympic Committee.
This is shitty. I haven't heard this.
Officials are taking a strong stance on Olympic attire after two Swedish athletes sported rainbow nails to support gay rights during the World Athletic Championships in Moscow. You can have views about how a country is run as an individual, says Sweden, but we can't have athletes using sporting arenas to demonstrate these perceptions. It is absolutely out of the question. It's very, this is the Swedish Olympic Committee head. So fuck you, Sweden.
Because nobody in any sport ever has ever worn a headband or a sticker or right. a tattoo to protest or to give homage sure. to something.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever done that.
And yeah. not just that, but I thought that the Swiss were supposed to be neutral.
Neutral.
Well, they say it seems that Sweden issued the warning to keep its athletes from risking dequalification from the games. While the IOC's rules do not explicitly bar rainbow colors, a well-known symbol of gay pride, its charter does specify that no political propaganda is permitted by any Olympic sites, venues, or other areas. So what sucks is that that Sweden is it actually looks like there's a Swedish high jumper who's been hashtagging pictures and a picture of her own nails with hashtag pride. So one of the Swedish jumpers has been hashtagging pride with all of her stuff, which is great. I'm glad this is happening. I think it should be happening. But it's really disappointing for Sweden. Moving to the WNBA, the Phoenix Mercury, while we have our new coach, Russ Pennell, which we're very excited about, are still in third place in the West Conference with 14 wins, 12 losses. Ahead of us, Minnesota and LA both have 18 wins and 7 losses. It's going to be tough to make up to two of the best teams in the league in general. But, you know,
based on what you just said, it sounds like the Western Conference has already got their two teams that are going to compete for the title.
Well, it seems that way. And the Mercury even said as much in their press conference when they put Russ Pennell up on the stadium. But, they said, well, we have, a third of our season left. We're going to see what he can do.
Sure.
But what we're hearing already is some reporters are already saying that the Diana Taurasi and Russ Pennell are making history together one game at a time. And essentially, they're just really talking about, which I spoke about last week, is his defense. He keeps winning. He keeps putting up incredible plays. They did have their first loss under Coach Pennell against the San Antonio Silver Stars, but they are still playing well. They had an average of 31 rebounding advantage. They protected the ball better. They've been winning with over a 35-point advantage in four games. So they're playing all-around better basketball with Coach Pennell.
Sure.
And we're excited that he's here. Hopefully he will be moved from interim coach to head coach. I'm sure that will
be
happening.
So with a third of the season left, you say, when does that round up?
So the season ends in September.
Okay.
I don't know when the general season ends, but I know that the playoffs end in September. So
okay,
around
we're wrapping up.
We're close.
Quick,
yeah. Mid September is when we actually are going to have the championship.
And by the way, that's when this Katie segment turns to politics and we drop sports.
Well, I want to.
It's really sad. I'm just only a WNBA fan. I am.
Yeah, but you've done really well.
Thank you.
But I want to tie in all three topics of sports, entertainment, and politics.
Please do.
So the 1968 Olympics Black Power Salute in Mexico City which isn't covered in The Butler, which surprised me because they made such a big deal about the Black Panthers and the Black Power and all that stuff. And really, it wasn't against Mexico City. It was that they were representing gold, and I'm thinking bronze. I don't think it was gold and silver. I think it was gold and bronze that they won. But they stood up in protest of our country and did the Black Power salute and wore garments that were in tribute to all the people that were lynched. And that's the wrong word completely.
And there's racism.
No, it
is. Ironic, special, neither. The interesting.
Interesting part is that they did it for the people that weren't, because they were always killed by Christians. You know, the lynchings and all that.
Everybody's killed by Christians.
Everything's a Christian.
They're so great.
But they said for all the unprayed for that died in lynchings and beatings and people during the Middle Passage. And I just thought, so they had the glove, the one glove, the power salute, the head down. They had their jacket, the Sue. Oh, what's her name from Glee?
Sue Sylvester
tracksuit. Yeah. The one wore it open to represent the middle class laborers of the Black community. Like, I mean, they were head to toe symbolism and took the time to explain every
in
single
the Olympics.
Thing. In the Olympics.
Right.
Yeah. So it's bullshit that they're doing this now.
One of the most famous pictures from the Olympics.
Have you ever seen this?
I'm sorry. I thought you knew. This is the two.
Huge.
And they won.
Wow.
I want to say running.
It was track,
I mean, they're black, so probably.
I want to say it's a track.
Intentional racism.
Yeah, I want to say it was track.
I believe it was track. Wow.
Well, they're fast runners.
So they did it. They
fast.
Did it.
Also, they jump high, so it might have been long jump, basketball, high jump, any of those.
Oh, it was the 200-meter race.
Even I'm like a little startled by that. But
really fast and good jumpers.
She called me a retard earlier, so all bets are
right.
up.
Sell it however you want to
so
sell it.
So it was the 200-meter race. But so that's what I'm saying about taking the time, and it wasn't against Mexico's treatment of anyone. It was against...
It's not weird. It's not like I'm off base.
No, you're not at all.
Yeah,
it's like saying that a Kenyan's not going to win,
long
marathon.
Distance.
Yeah. It's a long way to water. What are you saying? Anyways.
I definitely did not say that, though. Thanks, Al.
The 500 meter sponsored by Circle K. Yeah.
There's the line. There's the line, and I crossed it.
He was at least 6 foot tall,
sir. What they did was when he won the gold, and they made sure to do it when it was our national anthem
God
being
damn
played.
It. And why are we now backing away from this with Sochi and gay rights? Why were we doing it for black rights, but we're not doing it for gay rights?
And I recommend it. There's that point of Harvey Milk, when you watch the documentary of Harvey Milk.
Just bought on Blu-ray, by the way.
Yep. Oh, the little gay teacher that's standing there. And he's walking down the street with his candle, and all the black people are lining the streets, and they're watching this candlelight vigil for Harvey Milk, and they're like, "Where is your anger? Where is your anger?" And he just kept looking at them, going, "What?" And they're like, "Be mad! They just killed one of your people. Get pissed off!" And it's the right thing to say, like, "Where is our anger? Why are we not?" Boycotting NBC.
God,
why are we not doing
right.
these things? Like, you have to.
Well,
go
I'm watching
the people
GMA
with the
now, except for the 5:30 NBC News Hour. I'm sorry, I can't.
You are so not consistent.
I know.
God damn.
One more.
I think we should start that. I think we should put that on Facebook. Put it out everywhere. Boycott NBC. Make NBC do something because you have gay employees.
Yeah,
you're sending your
fucking
gay...
peacock is a rainbow.
Yes,
right. But you're sending your employees to cover this, and you're putting them
in
danger.
Jeopardy. Right.
Yeah,
right.
You're putting your employees in danger. And I'm sorry, figure skating. I can't say it enough.
How many times can you say that?
Ice dancing. There's something called ice dancing.
And curling.
So one more really quick thing
that's what
in
it bends
in
at the
sports.
End, right? I mean, a well-known prostitute.
Yes.
It has a fork in it?
And you are. One more thing in sports. This looks like something like progress, up and coming WWE. Now, I don't know, up and coming. He's been in the WWE for like 5 or 6 years.
Oh, he's cute too.
Personally, Darren Young, born Fred Roser, which I don't know why that's important, became the first publicly gay professional wrestler in the most nonchalant way possible. He was grabbing his bag at LAX.
Clarify that, please. Clarify that.
Oh, I'm sorry. He was at the airport.
Package.
He was traveling.
Yes.
You well-known prostitute. He was just getting his luggage.
He was, seemed clear to me.
Just traveling.
Very not well-known, not prostitute. But he was picking up his luggage at LAX, and a TMZ cameraman very randomly, they're always trying to get you, kind of. And he said, would it be okay if a gay wrestler came out, like, all these gay sports people are coming out, what do you think about wrestling? And he goes, absolutely. I mean, look at me, I'm a WWE superstar, and to be honest with you, I gotta tell you, I'm gay and I'm very, very happy right now.
At that point, the recorder about fell the fuck over.
Oh, he's my like, God. I'm sure. What? The reporter. Yes. Yeah. You know, they like basically use their iPhones to record this shit. And so he was like, what?
Gotcha journalism.
Oh. Yes.
Oh, but the person that got gotcha was the reporter.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what
right.
I'm saying.
Right.
The
reporter.
I love that.
Like, oh, it's great.
Huh? Yeah.
What? Son and of then a bitch. He said, we're all adults. All sports are physical. When I come to work, I come to work. Business is business. And then that was it.
And then he walked away.
Ladies and gentlemen, he wears a singlet. I'm going to help you out with something so you can do the European.
What does that mean?
Oh, my God. Could this be written any smaller? It would be Darren Young, knee Fred Roser.
Thank you.
There's that.
That's how you say it. You say knee, which means born as.
Knee.
That's good because I know that, but I didn't.
Not now. I didn't.
But I do know that.
That's always a fun thing to throw into conversation.
Yeah. It's good to like. Put, you know, I've heard that. I know that. So it's good to put it back in the brain. And that is the news in sports.
All right. Love it's time it. For Deathwatch.
Everybody's still alive.
Dr. Drew. Well, seriously. Anyone and everyone
do we have anything to do with this?
Is recovering.
Nothing. And even the people playing Nancy Reagan are still alive.
I thought she had great hair, though.
I got to tell you. Oh, no. The fact that, and I'm so excited about it, that Nelson Mandela's doing better, because I'm not wishing that, but fucking seriously?
And there is a movie coming out this fall, because, you know, when you go see a movie, your previews are designed for your audience.
Sure.
Nope. Here it is.
I'm not sure how this is Death Watch, but we're getting
there. No, it's Idris Elba. Idris Elba plays in a new movie, Mandela Long Walk to Freedom. Idris Elba, who was on the Big C, big star. He's actually British. He's playing Nelson Mandela with Naomi Harris as Winnie Mandela, and it looks really good. I saw the previews.
Okay.
Excellent movie. Released sometime this fall. I want to say October.
Okay.
And looks really good. Oh, nope. 3rd of January, 2014. So they really...
Well, it'll be later on.
No, it's got to be for Oscar season. I don't know. But that looks really good, so...
When's Oscar cutoff?
Oscar cutoff is you have to play for 1 week in Los Angeles in a movie theater before December 31st.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Seven consecutive days.
Well, I don't.
So is that so is the January release date on that a if national?
For, no.
And then they're going to do a week.
Right. So they'll do the week and then roll it out later.
Right.
So it'll be one that they'll throw out in award season. Although I don't know why they're bothering because Oprah's got this sewn up.
Well, she's got that shit tied up.
Well, there you go.
Well, I don't know what to do. I don't know. I don't think anyone's going to die.
I don't know. We may be surprised.
Ever.
Because there's been a lot of
name.
Well, there have been a lot this week of people that we never would have expected. We would have got crazy points for had we known who the fuck they were.
Right. If only I had known.
If only we'd have known.
And if that girl on the 70s show had stayed a season or two more, I might have paid attention.
Maybe. She was the blonde girl that played the older sister of Eric Foreman, who...
Right. Oh, no, but she left.
No, I understand that. But I'm just saying, for those of you who don't know who we're talking about, she was the older blonde sister of Eric Foreman in the 70s.
And she had fabulous Farrah Fawcett.
They worked that out. They did.
But they really did get rid of her early, and I'm not sure who.
Probably her.
But no, what,
she probably was a drunk.
It turned into that family. What's the Michael J. Fox show?
Family Ties.
Family Ties was supposed to be about the parents, and he was supposed to be a supporting character, kind of like the Fonz on Happy Days.
And it became about him.
But it became about him. And Happy Days, the Fonz was supposed to be like a semi-recurring character, and they had to kill off a son to make him the star. Like all of a sudden, a character disappears after the first season. And I think that was the case of that 70s show where, like...
Was that really supposed to be about the parents?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was supposed to be about very liberal, hippie parents raising conservative children.
Completely back. Flipped that.
Oh, they flipped that immediately because he was so charismatic.
But
that
I'm so happy we got Wilmer Valderrama out of that show. And
that's why
happy.
I can't... I don't know you if... Love I'm it. Not sure if Ashton Kutcher or
Wilmer Valderrama.
I'm not... And I love him.
Love him.
He's in an episode of either Mad TV or SNL where he plays Eric Estrada in Chips and wears a tight uniform.
I think it's SNL.
And I was like, I don't know.
Take it back. It was Mad TV.
It was Mad TV.
Yeah. Oh, you're right.
And he also was out here emceeing a fashion show that Stacey J and I went to go see. Yeah,
he was
it
in
was a
city?
While ago. Yeah, it was like maybe within the last year or so. I mean, it was in.
He used to have a show.
He may be a well-known prostitute, but you are.
And he was HOTT. We had like front row seats. He's hot.
I saw that thing coming at an absolutely inappropriate age.
And probably, and I'm going to guess uses a Magnum, just a guess. Well-known prostitute.
Wishful thinking.
But the other thing that he does, he produces a show for Disney. The show's called...
Magnum Condoms.
No,
it's... RS.
Well.com.
The show... No, it's an animated show called Handy Manny, and he plays a little...
Synonyms.
Handy Magnum.
The character is, his name is Manny, and he's like a fix-it guy around town. All of his tools talk, and they teach lessons to kids because he goes and he fixes, you know, a clock for the store owner, or he fixes a table for this person.
So it's a story about Clayton McKee?
Could be.
It really sounds like it could be from what you just described.
But there's a young Mexican in the story.
The difference is he actually can speak Spanish in his series.
Oh, see.
All right, here we go. We are going into our lovely segment that we allegedly call Thoughtful Vulgarity.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel and have them try to answer it while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when an important question comes up 90 minutes after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? You're fucked up. What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? You've been warned. Good luck.
Well, we have a follow-up question from last week's show,
shit.
Hour six.
If it has anything to do with that goddamn quiz, I'm leaving.
No.
I do think that was fun. I saw my show notes on my thing before I came in, and I'm like, oh, that was kind of fun. I got none of it right, but it was fun.
And because I'm a little bit more sober this time, the importance of the Erie Canal is it connects the Atlantic Ocean with the Great Lakes.
Thank you.
And the St. Lawrence River is how you get to the Great Lakes from the Atlantic Ocean.
Good.
But it's how you can get steel to Michigan. The auto industry boomed.
Then I just fly
Without any of those things.
That's how you get steel to Michigan. That sounds like a pickup line in
a
bar.
I am a well-known prostitute.
I have been
bringing steel to Michigan.
And that little lady is how you bring steel to Michigan. That's what sounds like Burt Reynolds said that somewhere in a movie.
Through Delta Burke's sister, Dixie Carter. All right, now we kind of touched on this last week. So, Marnie, would you say you are an old soul or a new soul?
I thought we did this.
No, we talked about it at the end.
Might have been off the air.
An hour five or six.
Yeah, right. Told you.
In the parking lot. By the fountain with mosquitoes.
I would like you to describe both.
No, please. I want you, for the love of Jesus.
Nope, because I would say old soul. But
so old explain soul, why you think you're soul. An old soul. It's your rules.
Ha ha, it's about you now.
Yeah, it's totally your rules.
Oh, well, no prostitute.
Yeah.
You're not an old prostitute.
No. The reason that I asked that is because, like, the idea of a new soul, I don't know how you describe that. I know you were saying, like, you feel like you're a newer soul because the whole idea of being young, maybe younger, and, like, you don't give a shit about all that later on.
Mm-mm.
Like, you're just like, right now. Does that make sense?
I think I'm a new soul because I don't know. And
that's where I'm confused with the new soul kind of thing.
It's like Kelly and her mom, for example, they get into these really deep philosophical discussions, and they talk about life and the meaning of life and afterlife and the important people in your life and these kinds of things. And like, to me, I like glaze over.
Yeah.
And I want to go talk to Natalie Cianciola.
I'm sorry, were you talking?
About
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
About like the new Selena Gomez tour. I'm like, oh my God, girl. We actually had that conversation this week.
So, sadly, I believe you.
I believe that was not a metaphor.
And I'm trying to figure out who the fuck that is.
Yeah.
So good.
But
I'm
just,
an old soul.
I guess
Selena Gomez used to date Justin Bieber.
Thank you.
I just don't have that piece of my like brain or my heart or my soul or whatever that is just super deep. I'm not a deep person.
So we couldn't sit and have a conversation.
It's good to know you're not.
I think that I could sometimes, but it's just not who I. It's. Okay. I mean, yes, I like could, and I. And
but
I'm,
you probably wouldn't introduce.
I also think I'm a chameleon. I think I can fit into a lot of different situations, but that's just me. Right. That's my personality normally. Right. But I'm just not like an old deep.
So that's really fucking easy. I'm an old soul.
And why?
Because I love that. Like, I fucking thrive on those kind of conversations. The idea of Selena's tour right now, and I don't mean the dead one.
Yeah, she's alive. She's about 18, maybe.
Who's the dead Selena? Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Tejano singer.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
I don't think that's it.
Bitty Bitty Bum Bum.
Thank you.
So close.
Going back to Jennifer Lopez.
All the sounds I make is a well-known prostitute.
Thank you.
For $50.
Yeah.
A roll of quarters will do.
Five rolls of quarters. Five.
Magnum.
I have one.
I have a lot of laundry.
Ooh, Magnum P.I.
Nice. I don't know. I thrive on those kind of conversations. I thrive on just anything that has to do with people, like to listen to Clayton talk about his family. And I love that. Oh, to
I
listen
do love
to
that,
you.
Though.
Well, me talking about
count.
My family?
You don't count. Because you're an
Well, no, but I do love about, I love my old family stories, and I love to hear about your family. Okay. And I love
so
that.
So that to me is kind of like a deep thing because it takes you to that history of someone, and then
I guess so.
But I guess that brings you to other things. Like I could sit and when they say don't talk about abortion and don't talk about religion and don't, you know. Oh, I can talk about
that's
all
the point
that
of thoughtful vulgarity, like all things the things you shouldn't have a conversation about.
At Thanksgiving dinner, those are the things you don't. Right.
But and I will say, and then I'll shut up. Is that I was at a fundraiser last night for Kirsten, and there was a gentleman who was in his 80s, and he was sitting there with one of our other fundraising guys talking about, well, when I was in the war, that kind of thing. And I like get hyped up on those kinds of and I love hearing from our elders, and I love listening to my dad tell stories, even though I've heard every single one 18 times. Yeah. And I loved talking to my grandparents, but I think I love those pieces. But in my own heart, in my, like me, I'm not that person.
No, and I completely respect that. I mean, that whole kind of meaning of life of just every, I love any kind of different kind of conversation about that stuff. So I guess that's what old soul, new soul, I don't know what the fuck that means.
Yeah, it's your own definition.
Yeah, I mean, that, I will talk about anything, anywhere, and more importantly, I will listen to anything, anywhere.
And more importantly, go ahead. You're a well-known prostitute, so you have to talk about anything, anywhere, and you have to listen to anything.
And for
listeners at home that are stuck around to the end, I'm doing the California version of Stolly Bolly, because we're doing some kind of California champagne, and I'm doing California vodka. Sky.
Oh, good.
Because I'm avoiding the Russians. Clayton McKee.
I'm sure you are.
Well-known or lesser-known prostitute?
Retired.
Well-known.
Don't make me guess.
Retired. I took my website down.
Retired.
Yeah, retired. Like yeah, okay. I'm in recovery.
Retired prostitute.
Vaginal reconstruction happening shortly.
I'm just getting the stitch.
Yeah. There you go.
One or two.
Have a doctor just like tighten that shit up.
I just realized there's something on my iTunes on this laptop called Thunder Chicken. I don't know what that is.
Oh my god, I think it's about well-known prostitutes.
From a group called the Mighty Imperials. I have no idea what the fuck that
Everything
is.
Everything about that sounds like something a well-known prostitute might say.
Things a well-known prostitute would say.
Yes.
Oh, that's funny.
Or Angie Dickinson. Anyway,
that's funny.
Same thing. Synonyms.
Police force. So.
I love helping people through grammar.
Knee, nine,
well, the prostitute, knee, and you think it's
That's fantastic.
On your knees.
Takes a lot of coffee.
Yeah, there's that.
Hands behind your head.
Based on... Assume the position. Hands behind your head.
I'm either a well-known prostitute or I'm midway through the Macarena with no clue as to how to go on.
Me?
Well, maybe your ankles behind your ears will help you remember. So
look at the good you do.
I'm going to be right. My vagina is so large. I'm going to go with old soul pasta.
You say vagina, I got to make the noise. I was stuck in that chair until 5 minutes ago.
Right. You don't even know what video we're talking about, do you?
I don't. Okay, no. Well, I have to show you. You know what I'm thinking of is my penis is too big. Or your penis is too big. Too big to fit in here. Too big to fit in here. That's kind of what I'm thinking about.
Yeah. It's different.
Luckily, it's really super new soul stuff.
Luckily, I'm enough of a well-known prostitute that I know what both of you are talking about.
Thunder chicken. Anyway. I'm going to go with old soul only because I have such an affinity for trying to, like what we talked before, one of my things has always been to preserve so many things. Like, I don't oppose new, but I'm always trying to protect or preserve what was or what is. I mean, for God's sake, I have a 1967 filter queen vacuum just because I can't let it go.
Yeah.
And,
that's a lot of stuff.
No,
I disagree, but a lot of things from Winx.
I think.
You're on the spectrum of hoarder.
I'm going to write a nasty letter.
I'm a windshield wiper.
I'm a well-known hoarder. Not a whore. Hoarder.
Hoarder.
Different synonyms.
Very different synonyms.
If I give him a roll of quarters, I'll keep them.
Scratchy vagina. That's an antonym. Because no one wants to get in that.
Oh, no.
Even for price of one roll of pennies.
I am gonna say old soul only in that aspect. I like to preserve things and or history, and from that aspect, I would guess.
Yeah, I agree.
And I just had to go old soul because whenever something, I always wondered, like, what did it come from? Like, I want to see this Stoker movie, which just came today on Netflix. And then someone told me, oh, it's a remake of an Alfred Hitchcock movie called blah, 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 blah. Beware of Uncle Charlie. I can't remember what it's called.
Beware of Uncle Charlie.
Shadow of a Doubt. So I was like, I can't believe there's an Alfred Hitchcock movie that I've never even heard of. And I was so intrigued that I got the Alfred Hitchcock movie first because I'm like, where did it come from? Where it's not an original story, like 310 to Yuma. Like, okay. I had seen the original years ago, but every time something new comes out, like, where'd you steal that from? Where's it come from?
Okay.
What do we need to know? Where is the past? Like, why, you know, where do all the names come from? The royal baby. Like, I want to know, like, so much from before that I feel like I kind of have a connection to, like, of course, I wish I was alive in the 1970s.
Old soul.
Yeah. Oh. I wanted, like, there's so much of history that I wish I could have, like. I was a well-known prostitute in the 1970s.
That's not a lie.
No, true story.
The 80s was really his productive years.
Pretty Baby with Brooke Shields was about
that
me.
That was your prime.
But there, every time something comes up, I just want to find out, like, I want more. I want the backstory. I want to know more about it. And it's kind of like I have a craving to live in that era. Like, I really, like, want to be in the Tudors. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
that's so good to know, like, what era would you want to live?
Yeah.
And that's yours.
And I can't decide, like, but there's so many, like, the white rose, the Tudor rose, because, you know, they're really just roses. But there's all those different times.
I think you would shit yourself to walk into Studio 54.
Again, remember. Oh yeah. God. But no, I didn't.
Like, in the day?
No, yeah. Yes. In the day, I would have stabbed each and every one of you to get there. As a well-known
murderer.
Dead soul.
Remember, I was willing to slash someone's throat.
Serial
with
killer
a plastic
soul.
Card.
To get out of a fucking elevator.
Wherever
Tyler is.
We're not here.
Still violent out.
Where the fuck is he?
When Cabaret
actually,
moved from...
I don't know where he is.
Next week's drinking word is Thunder Chicken.
Thunder Chicken.
I know, yes,
I'm
Jeffrey,
in. I'll write it down.
Thank you, Jeff.
I'll write it down. But when... Cabaret, the latest revival, moved from wherever it started to, and it moved to Studio 54. Mm-hmm. And because it was an old club, they called it the Kit Kat Club, which is, if you have HBO, you've seen the movie, and you know that she performs at the Kit Kat Club.
Yeah. Notice the roll of the eyes.
Yeah, a little bit. So in the intermission of a fabulous show, which I had seen on tour before I saw it on Broadway, I got to see it on tour, and I knew what I was doing, so I'm like, I'm not going to go pee during the break. I'm going to go down the basement to Studio 54 and walk around.
Stop it, you can do that?
No. Climbed over the ropes.
No, not legally.
Climbed over the ropes. Maybe broke a lock or picked it. We're not really sure what happened. Got in, wandered around, and got kicked out. But I was like, but I have a ticket. They're like, well, go watch the end of the show. But please don't do any
Come
more
here.
Damage.
Don't ever do that again.
But I just wanted to go and feel the ghosts.
But were you in there?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Is it cool?
Yeah,
that's
cool.
Awesome.
I mean, it's empty. There's nothing down
but
there.
It was cool to be there.
I was just smelling the cocaine with Liza and the well-known prostitutes that were probably
there. They were really there.
Yeah.
Prostitutes, gigolos, hustlers, all the
above.
And
I was just thinking, you know what? For about a year and a half, probably about 5 years, the last song of the night was always Last Dance at Studio 54.
Last Dance.
Exactly. And I'm like, this is my palace.
Wait a minute. Who sang that?
Never heard of her.
I don't know.
Lovely woman.
I think she's a well-known prostitute.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard.
A bad girl.
Maybe.
Looking for a lover tonight.
All I want to do is sing that song now and dance.
Does she work?
Hard.
Hard.
Hard for the money.
For the money?
Mm-hmm. But you know what the worst part is about that story? She never did.
She was so annoyed by everyone because she recorded albums in like 4 days that people were like, we need you to come in and redo the vocals. No.
No.
And she would never do it. And they'd be like, well, you got to come in and record. I'm going to go shopping.
Fuck you guys.
And they would tell her, like, there's going to be a dance move. She's like, no, the audience dances. I'm just going to stand here and sing. And they would try to teach her dances and she would never, like, no.
No.
That's awesome.
Not going to happen.
She would just stand on the middle of the stage and be like, I got this voice. You do what you guys got to do. Right, I'm going to be singing.
Well, and she did that to the end. Because even if you watch the VH1 special back, is it? 99. Okay, 99. When she did, she literally did. The backup dancers did their little choreographed thing.
And she just
stood there with a mic out to hear and belted.
Yeah.
She never did anything.
We're talking about
Donna Summer.
Sing.
For those of you who have no fucking idea, she's a well-known prostitute, Donna Summer.
I only know that because, like I said, that her sometimes her Christmas album pops up on my...
And that voice bigger in Texas. Yeah. And she just holds the mic up here and she's like, back off, people.
What about... I wish every club played Last Dance as their last song.
They for a long time they did, but that era's gone.
Yeah. I feel like maybe I've been to a club that did that once.
Here's what annoys me about that. Now, there are many, many, many recordings of her doing Last Dance. There are the two.
I need to download it right
there's
now.
There is the.
How do you not own it already?
No, there's the soundtrack from. There's the soundtrack version from Thank God It's Friday, which she did. But
and it's coming out on a new reissue, and it's called Mini Vinyl. And what they're doing is they're giving you the whole package. Ooh. Of vinyl records. So if it was a double album or if it was something that should open, your CD case will now open with the vinyl stuck into each side and you'll get the entire inside of the album cover. And then you'll get the sleeves like you did for the album and you'll get all the lyrics and any pertinent information and thank yous. So they're called Mini Vinyl and they're coming out. It's the new thing on CDs.
So now you got to buy another goddamn CD.
Yes. So I got to spend another fucking $7.99 on an album I don't even like.
So there is the well-known soundtrack version that was the studio version from the soundtrack of the movie Thank God It's Friday. But then there was, and to me, much more endearing, is the Live and More concert from the Hollywood.
God, Jesus, every song of hers, you guys say Live and More is the only way to go.
The Live and More album, the Live and More concert.
I fell
in love with it. My mother had that album when it first came out. Oh my God, I still own it, and I listened to it over and over and over today.
And he played it when I was at his house, and I don't know if it came on or he just put it on, and I was sitting there trying to do something on the computer. And just tell me, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to be the conductor? Do you want me to like be the backup singer? Do you want me to play the rhythm section? But I know all her banter.
Oh, no, I played that for you.
And he was cracking up because he's like, it's so easy for you, isn't it? Like, I'm just typing. I'm like, come on, Alfie.
And she doesn't say Alfie.
I don't think I don't think Live and More is on iTunes.
Yeah, bullshit, it's not.
No, they just put the real thing on iTunes.
So if I just Google Last Dance, only thing that comes up is the best summer version.
Well, we'll help you when we're done.
So our last
finished with my story. The irritating part of that song to me is I watch queen after queen after queen try to do that to get your point of it needs to be the last song.
Yeah.
It's the last song in so many drag shows, and not a fucking queen knows the live version. Like, we'll do the live version because it sounds more like we're really in the live setting. Learn the goddamn song. And where are the breaks? Yeah. Where are the lines? Where is the dialogue? Yeah. Drives me crazy.
Yeah, and the one year we did
there's dialogue.
Movie. Oh yeah. Ain't I even worth a dime a dance?
Right.
Ain't I even worth half a chance tonight. This is my last chance. That's not anymore.
Listen to it on the way.
She did it forever.
I own everything.
So the one year
we're
doing the Halloween show at BS West, which we had this signed agreement after year four to stay sober for, because it was such a fucking train wreck when we were drunk.
There's that.
So we all did it. But the one year they're doing a movie theme, and then the part two of the movie theme was disco. Because the movie theme was getting a little weird, and so they needed to throw something in, so they threw in disco. So Mike's looking at me, because I'd already done Last Dance as, like, the finale of two Halloween shows.
Okay.
So my number was pretty much up on that one. I'm like, all right, listen to me clearly, little man. Right? You're doing a movie theme show that's got a disco kicker.
Yeah.
And you're not
what's the biggest disco song from a movie that has an Academy Award? And he's like, I already knew you were going to do Last Dance. And because of the way this song plays out, he was like, so what we're going to do is we're going to say the goodbyes for the show, introduce the cast, do everything, and then do
Last Dance.
Okay. But we're going to do, and I did the live version. And he's like, and then when she goes, does her little dialogue part, and then it goes fast again. He's like, we're just going to invite the audience on stage and start the dance party that way. It was the best ending of a show.
Fun.
And I have to tell you that everybody's on stage. All of the audience is on stage dancing the Last Dance because it's like 7 minutes long.
Sure.
But it was the thing. And Mike looked at me and he's like,
I told you this would work. I'm like, you told me this would work.
Right, bitch?
You're explaining Last Dance to me.
In our final 4 minutes or so, what do you got?
Very quickly, and I can't remember. It did not come up because of the Australia story, unfortunately, but the Australia story, the Canada story came up. So I don't want you to confuse them because they're not related. Mm-hmm. Euthanasia.
Oh, I'm like,
Two different things came to mind.
Yeah, the euthanasia. How do you feel about them? They're making Apple. They're making all your Apple products. Very thankful.
And thank God for them.
Katie June, you go.
I'm all for it if you are at a terminal, at a point of like total terminal illness and you're miserable and you're horrible and life is bad. Yeah. And there was a...
So what if I got to throw a B in here? Mm. What if you decide that you're terminal? Like, what if it's not a medical diagnosis, but your own diagnosis?
But you're done.
I don't know. Yeah. Like,
you're done. If I have Lou Gehrig's, I'm done.
I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. I do know that I heard an article recently on NPR about two brothers that had the identical twins. They had this horrible disease. They basically went blind and deaf. And before they, like, lost all of their faculties, they said, please kill us. And they were euthanized, and their family was devastated. They were against it, but they understood.
From where?
I can't remember. Okay. It's in the United. Maybe it's European, but regardless, it was recently on NPR, and they were just debating like the sensibility of it, and they said, for the family it was hard, but for these guys, they went blind and deaf for God fucking sakes in their like 40s or 50s. Yeah. Just end my
life.
But
can you live that way?
But everybody has their own... Everybody has their
tolerance. Thing.
Well, and for these guys, that was not livable.
Yeah.
Well, and and thank you for doing that, because I was putting the two together. So that's why I just went to Katie, and usually I won't do that. But the idea of, like I said, with Lou Gehrig, something like that.
ALS,
right. A friend of mine that I went to
Shame David Niven got it second, because it'd be called the David Niven disease. But damn it. Second on the train. Go ahead.
But
David Niven, still dead.
A friend of mine that I went to college with, her brother had ALS. And Kevorkian was someone who did the assisted suicide thing. Right. So we had a lot of discussions about assisted suicide and the whole nine yards. I am all the fuck for it.
Okay.
And if I am, if I'm in a vegetative state, if anyone else that I love is in a vegetative state, and they're like, trip over that fucking cord, because that's what I've said.
Yeah, pillow therapy.
Trip over that cord.
Pillow to face therapy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, I mean, but as far as if I decide, it's not medically, like the doctor's like, there's a chance. Fuck off, because this is where I'm at.
Right.
But are you ever at such a low point that you say, I'm done? But then you come back from that point. I don't know.
You're exactly right. So I'm going to move on. Clayton. Please.
I'm going to go with yes on that, because I've seen too many people that were terminal and were failing. I think we could agree probably on Woody would be absolutely. One who we knew his time was coming. Yep. And we watched him suffer to the very, very bitter end, to the point of being on a respirator when his... Mom was flown in so she could say, pull the plug. Yeah, so I've seen enough of that. My grandmother had Alzheimer's. There were so many things that I'm like, there's no good outcome to any of this. We're not good. Life improvement is not happening at all. There's no sign. So I'd say yes. You, Al?
Well, mine is, it was a writer. I can't remember if he was a sports writer, but he said in his letter that 60 was the end. He gave all he could give. He wasn't ill. He just said, I've contributed all I can.
That's interesting.
And he wasn't suicide. He was like, I'm just going to euthanize myself. He said, this is not suicide.
By the way, that's suicide. How is that not?
It is. But he said, I'm doing this with a clear conscience. I'm not disturbed. I've just given all I could give.
Okay. It's the end of hour three. I thank you all for being with us. It's the show with Clayton McKee. That's me with Katie June, Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins. We'll be here next Tuesday. We will leave you with this. We will
see you next Tuesday.
You've been listening to The Show on Hugh Talk America.